Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Today's Sunday session is brought to you thanks to the fine folks at More Beer. Visit them right now at morebeer.com.
If you really want to be one of the best brewers there is,
I stopped dressing all in plastic.
You better be brewing 5 to 6 times a week.
A beer, every beer, is made with love, and it begs to be appreciated.
I need something to kill the salmonella I'm kind of worried about in the eggs.
Do you find that that the hops kind of clash with the chicken embryo you put in there?
I might sleep here tonight.
It's a California king. There's plenty of room for both of us, Beavis.
How many of the brewers over there have seen your ass?
That's it. Someone's getting cut tonight.
All I have to say is, hey, McDowell, how you doing?
Now, live from the Brewing Network Studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
All right. Hey, did Chad move to Texas? Taze, I heard Chad in the beginning in that intro. And
yeah,
is he gone?
Yeah, he left 2 weeks ago.
He didn't even say anything. Like, I knew he was going, but he didn't give me the date or anything. He didn't say goodbye. There was no, you know.
Seriously? He just up and left?
So it's not a vacation.
And there was
he's
just
yeah,
moved.
He's gone.
There was a going away party, too.
There was a going away party?
Yeah. No, there wasn't.
Yes,
not
there
that
was.
I was invited to.
It was on Facebook.
I did. No, I saw that. There was like a Last Supper. I think I was out of town. Maybe they
maybe I didn't go to one. I know that.
Something I'm clinging to.
I had a beer with him the night before he left us.
All right. Should we place bets on whether or not we ever see Chad again?
No.
Ever.
I think his wife moved there for the job. I think there'll be another job to move for. He may go to like Connecticut or something.
So they're going to move out of Texas.
I don't think they're going to be in Texas.
You don't think Texas is
forever.
Their final destination?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I mean, what if he opens a brewery?
He plans to, so I mean, I could see that being in play, but I don't know.
Just up and leave that.
He's been planning to open a brewery for how many years now?
He's only kept the jobs he's had recently for like a few months, actually. So,
right.
You know, he gets tired easily.
What's his job in Texas? Dad?
A stay-at-home dad.
Nice.
To a woman that makes a lot good, a nice big check.
I mean, I'm into it.
That's only going to last for a couple months.
Maybe I ought to knock up Kate after all.
I take all that I can get.
Yeah, she gets paid more than me. That's always the rule, right? Like, whoever gets paid more stays at work.
Yeah.
I don't really want to work anymore.
Yeah, but now that you're used to two incomes.
Yeah,
you've got the mammary glands for it.
Yeah.
I do. And now that I don't, you know, because who wants to work? I got to rethink this baby thing.
Well, so she needs to at least make as much as you do and as much as she does currently to keep you guys at the same level. And then when you have a kid, that's going to drop even lower. So, you know, if you only go down to one income and have a child, you're going to be out
I don't make shit, and she does pretty well. So I think this might work.
There's plenty of free babysitters out here at the Hop Grenade. So,
well, I've been trying to do it the hard way, you know, by working my way to not have to work anymore, but it's just not working out.
Yeah. Well, it's just taking too long.
Too
much work.
We're discussing a kid before we're discussing the marriage. Is that it?
Oh, yeah. Who cares about the marriage? Right. Yeah, that's nothing.
You get married and still have to work.
You can have a kid.
Yeah, marriage isn't going to keep me out of this place.
Right, yeah.
But a kid would?
Yeah, if I got to be stay-at-home dad, you know, no one argues with that. Everyone complains, how can you not be married? Are you spending money on this? You spend But no one ever, once you throw down the kit card, everyone goes, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You go, I mean, you say, I have to jump off a cliff now because I have a kid. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Like anything goes. Right. Every excuse is possible when you have a kid.
Right.
I didn't wake up for 7 days. Do you have a kid? Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
You need your sleep.
I guess.
I guarantee you that that would not be anything that ever happened if you had a kid.
No, but you see the point. Like, it's like the ultimate trump card. Nobody wants to argue about what a parent has to do.
He didn't say what kind of a parent he would be.
He just says he would be a parent. That guy can't do shit.
And he has one on the way.
Terrence,
I haven't seen in 6 months. Well, I have kids. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. No offense then.
Yeah.
He must be sleeping. What else is he doing?
Be the same here in Moscow. Hopkins would be like, Justin, we haven't seen you in like a year.
Things are going great.
I got a baby, you know.
Or maybe I'm in Barbados. One of the two.
Well, yeah, but I'm in Barbados with the baby.
Right, yeah.
I can't argue with you.
He still has the baby.
It's the ultimate trump card.
Barbados.
Yeah. I'm going to revisit this.
You guys all suck.
The baby needed a change of scene, so he went to Barbados.
Meanwhile, the only one of us who has a baby is going, what the fuck? I work too much.
I got it. Well, that's, yeah, but
that's women.
Bevo and Sam are a little slow, so they just haven't figured out this baby trump card thing.
I think Sam has.
No, Sam. Sam had the baby trump card figured out before I ever got pregnant.
Right.
He's like, all right.
Baby trump card. I got to revisit this whole sperm and egg thing.
Revisit
tonight.
Gotta learn how it works.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take a sample.
Yeah, it's gonna be a short break coming up.
Gross.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a 30-second break.
Right.
Watch a lot of YouTube.
All right, we got a great show planned for you tonight. It's nice to be back in the saddle, sort of.
I guess.
At least it's still here. We didn't burn the place down.
Yeah, nothing burnt down.
I'm not going to lie. I was expecting you maybe to just be like, I have to do a remote. I have to call in and do the interview.
You almost did.
It was getting close. I extended my trip by a few days, and then I was like, God, maybe JP could do another show. It's no big deal.
He did the last one.
Well, I had free room, and I mean, I was just paying for food, which I got to do at home anyway.
Right.
And anyway.
If you had a kid in Hawaii, then you just have to stay.
I would have just been like, hey, the kid's sick. I can't fly.
Right. Yeah.
Ultimate trump card.
Right.
We flew in. The ears got all messed up. You know, I'm sorry. I'm going to be here for 6 months.
Kid got pregnant. Now we have to stay.
Yeah. Again, that's not how that works.
Nobody argues with the baby card. And ever they can't. Like, they can't say to you, you know, I think you're playing this baby card a little too far.
Right.
Are you kidding me? Are you going to throw my baby in my face?
Right.
It's a little baby. It's helpless.
Yeah, what are you, anti-baby?
You gonna tell me how to be a parent?
Yeah, you can. There's nothing you can say.
How many kids do you have? None. Great. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You don't know what it's like.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, it's no different. That's just it's there. It's this whole conspiracy with parents. They're holding on tight to this lid. And they're like, just don't tell them that it's really no different,
right.
Except that you have a great excuse to do nothing.
As soon as you start dissecting it, you realize that a lot of people had a lot of kids before now, and they dealt with it without running water and electricity.
When you have enough, they start taking care of themselves.
Look, guys, I really want to come back for the show, but my baby sunburned her toe, and I can't put shoes on her.
My baby's sleeping. I can't.
Don't wake her up.
She doesn't sleep. She needs her sleep. She's a baby.
Justin, the baby's been asleep for a week. Are you questioning me? Are you questioning my baby's sleeping habits?
What, are you anti-sleep?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the baby in 6 months. I don't know. But it's sleeping. It's hitting.
It's a growing child.
Did you actually have a baby?
Are you now? You're questioning Kate's womb.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
My baby reality.
So you can't do it. It's the ultimate. You ought to rethink it too, JP.
Fuck that shit,
JP. Then you.
I would happily work 2 hours a day and not have a baby.
2 hours a day.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I do now.
Okay.
Yeah. Watch a lot of Game of Thrones
and work 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
Mondays are your worst day because you got to work four.
I know. Tell me about it, dude. Seriously, we have to have a talk about this.
Yeah.
No, for me, the baby thing is null and void because of just the cost, emotionally and monetarily. It's
right.
Too much.
Yeah. Both are too much.
I won't be a good parent. I can't even provide proper emotions for Taryn. I'm not going to be able to provide emotions for a thing that we can't talk out emotions.
You have none more emotions.
I have none of them.
Yeah.
No. You know, whatever. There you go. And I'm already poor enough trying to buy myself underwear. I can't buy the baby underwear.
I don't think kids even need emotions. They have plenty of them
themselves. Or underwear, really.
Right.
Yeah. Just throw the pants on them.
I think you're fine.
The baby doesn't need underwear if you just leave it in the backyard.
Just build a little netted area in the middle of the game room or whatever, wherever you put game, and just put the naked baby there.
Okay, stop talking.
Yeah. It's just not... What is it? What does the baby really do?
Oh, you're going to comment on our parenting right now?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
You feed it... You clean up its duty.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
It's no big deal.
Yeah.
You can hose it off.
I don't want to nurture anything.
Hose it off once in a while.
Hold it up. Just hose it off.
Nurturing's work.
Pull it up by one leg. And
just take it out in the backyard and just hose it off.
I'd rather leave the baby in the non-existent ether, you know?
I see. Where you've been leaving all your millions of babies about twice a day for the last 10 years.
Yeah. And my emotions.
Yeah.
So that's what you call your tube sock?
Yeah, in your hamper.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
That's the baby ether. JP's tube sock.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right, on tonight's program, we're going to be talking about Japanese craft beer as soon as we're done with babies. We've got a brewery from Japan on. Kodo Beer Company is going to be on with us. Also, we've got the publisher of Japan Beer Times, and that's Rye Bevel. He's going to be sitting in the studio with us, and we're going to learn all about Japanese beer, the craft beer scene, of course, not just any Japanese beer. I think it's going to be an interesting topic with us, as a matter of fact.
We're going to drink some Japanese beer, too.
Oh, they sent some, too?
Yes, they did.
We got some Kodo beer with us. And I think we're going to find that we kind of got it made out here in terms of brewing, you know, getting ingredients and making it easy to make good beer. And my guess is that we're going to find out in Japan it's a little more difficult. Yet, they're into craft beer. So enough to have a magazine about it and a couple breweries going on. In fact, we interviewed a Japanese brewer a few years back at the Firestone Beer Festival, right?
Yeah, that was Masafumi Morita from Yoho.
He had great beer as well.
Great beer.
And so we're going to learn more about Japanese beer tonight on the program, which I'm excited about. Thanks to our sponsor, More Beer, who's brought you this program and every session that we do. Great guys over at morebeer.com. You can check them out. Also, they're giving away a trip to the National Homebrewers Conference. Now, I think that the deadline was up. You had to have entered already by April 15th, by tax day. But I just wanted to mention again that the good people over at More Beer are so good that they were giving away a trip for two to NHC.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to find out who that winner is. I'll talk to More Beer this week because we're also giving them two VIP tickets to our BNA 10 White Labs 20 event.
That's a big deal.
Nice.
Yeah. Two VIP tickets, which is like, you know, you get to touch JP's tube sock.
you get lucky. You get to jump in the ether.
You get to reach your hand into the ether. Oh, can you imagine? We're going to line up five socks, all right? One of them is JP's Ether Socks. The other four are clean.
Hey, I might start a line called Ether Socks. You never know.
Yeah, I think you should.
It wicks away moisture.
like nothing else.
Right.
Special lining.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe you ought to do...
Lined with spermicide.
I think that a subsidiary of Covier's could be Covcocks or something. Like, you have to do this, like, special lining socks.
Yeah, let's make them a little bit...
Cove socks.
Different
Sorry, let's clean it up a little bit.
Yes.
Cove socks.
Oh, it worked better the first way.
A special lining... It's just a division. I don't know.
Yeah,
think about it. Don't naysay it yet.
I'm already registering.
Okay,
it.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Already got 12 sales. It's great.
Okay, we have a drunk of the week number. If you haven't heard about it, a lot of people calling in on it. That's fun. 855-WIN-DOTW. 855-WIN-DRUNK of the week. That's how we take your drunk of the week calls. You can still call at the end of the show, and if you sound funny and fun, we'll take that phone call too. But throughout the week, you don't have to wait, you know, for Monday if you're feeling good on a Tuesday night, for example. Call in. 855-WIN-DOTW. Our BNA 10 party, it's our 10th anniversary. I can't believe it. Very surprised we've made it.
Absolutely.
We're doing it in San Diego. It is...
Do you think any other founders or CEOs talk that way? Like Meg Whitman back when she was in charge of Hewlett Packard, like, well, we're still making computers. Much to my surprise.
I'll tell you the problem is that they think it, they just don't say it.
Right.
They all think like, God, everybody's faking it out there.
Who would have thought? Yeah.
But they just go, oh, no, well, you know, I went to Stanford, and I know what I'm doing. But they're all in their head. They're all thinking, what the fuck? I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. And I don't know how to do the next thing, and I hope it works out.
Fake it till you make it.
That, yes. But I will
like Beardy with his new gig.
Yeah, right, yeah.
He has no idea what he's doing.
I will disagree that they don't know what they're doing, or they don't, they're surprised that they're making money because they actually have something to show for the success.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Right. So we're here, we're like limping along, and it's... I'm surprised here. We're not under is really what it is. I'm not surprised at the level of our success, but at the fact that we haven't gone under yet.
Just gone under entirely.
But if we all drove Teslas, nobody would be surprised that we're still here. Because clearly that means something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, my Tesla's in the shop.
Okay, good. Yeah,
it'll be delivered next
Which
year.
One? All of them?
That's or great. Just
all of the shops?
All of the Teslas.
Okay.
Yeah. Just the Roadster. It's the oldest one.
Right, yeah.
All of the Teslas are in all of the shops. Anyhow, it's go to BNA10.com for information. I do think we're going to be posting tickets within the next week or so. Of course, if you're a member of the BN Army, which is a recurring donor in the BN Army, just by clicking that donate button on the homepage, then you're going to get first dibs. We will send you information and give you a ticket window before everybody else, which means you have first dibs at VIP tickets, which always sell out, and then first dibs at the rest of the tickets too, which sometimes sell out. Now, we got a pretty big venue this year, but if you want VIP tickets, sign up to be a recurring donor now, because we will check the list beforehand. You don't have to have been a recurring donor for 10 years. We will check the list of people who are there and make sure you get the email. So go sign up right now to be a donor in the BN Army. That also enters you for a chance to win $100 over to More Beer, a $100 gift certificate. We do that every month, and we send you an email if you win. So if you haven't gotten an email, you know you didn't win.
You're not a winner.
But a lot of people win. You know,
Well, guaranteed one a month.
12 a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. That's crazy. I wonder if we just break it up and do $250 gift certificates.
So you're saying 120 people have won?
Total.
Total. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
It's a lot, right?
Yeah.
Do the math on that.
I can't.
Me neither.
I think you just did.
Yeah, I think.
But how much? That's worth what? $200,000, $300,000?
Easily.
Close. Yeah.
I think so.
Ballpark.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
That's worth a Tesla.
Those More Beer guys are nice.
Yeah.
They could have bought a Tesla. Instead, they gave you gift certificates.
That's right.
Yeah. So, all right. Also, you can support us by doing your Amazon shopping. Just hit the Amazon link right there on our homepage. It's easy to do. Then you just shop as normal, and you don't even know we're there. Although we do get a report of what you've bought.
We're there.
So we know you're there.
We know. Yeah. We don't know who you are, but we know what you are.
And so, what are we this week?
What are we this week, Moscow?
Well, actually, this is one week where I do really want to know who it was, because it's a CMDC Men's Business Italian-style three-piece suit.
Oh.
It's imported from Italy, so it's like, you know, it'll take a couple weeks to get there. And one of the bullet points is, we have a custom service at no additional charge. Please give me email through Amazon. So the Italian owner of this company must have done that through Google Translate.
I guess
he's saying, I'll custom tailor your suit. The amazing thing is, this was $87.50.
Wow, you're kidding.
No amazing. So, and we cut, you know, 8% of it for $7 payday.
Nice.
So thanks for that. But if you're the person who bought this, can you please email me at scott@thebrewingnetwork.com and let me know the story, because I need a suit.
Wow.
A three-piece suit.
Italian suit.
Custom tailored.
Was it that light gray color also, or... Do we know?
The one in the picture here? I don't know. I guess.
Okay. You can't get a quality handmade suit for $87.
It doesn't make any sense, right?
You can't.
On Amazon,
What's the return policy?
I guarantee you it's made in China. Yeah.
Let's just get one.
Because I looked at that. There's certain folks that will come into town from Hong Kong, and you can book appointments, and then they'll come over on the West Coast for like 3 weeks and be in a different city. And then they go back and make the thing and come back. And that's a grand.
Yeah.
I can't imagine you just send your stuff in. And then you get a suit for under $100. I mean,
something about this isn't it? Maybe it's like for like dollhouse furniture, like it's for a little doll
little
or something.
Suit.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Must be 4 inches
tall. By the
way,
I don't trust Italian tailors anyway. I only go to Chinese tailors.
I don't trust Italians.
What are the sizes? Can I get like a, you know?
What are the reviews? Are there reviews?
There are none. No, it's be the first to review this item, so none yet. And it see listed U.S. sizes. So here's the sizing chart.
Amazon vets their customers though.
48. Right. There you go.
We can take away is that the BN listener goes to Amazon for their fine tailored clothes.
I guess.
Instead of going to like a Men's Warehouse or a Macy's.
Well, for $87.50, can you blame them?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy probably was like, fuck it, I'll throw $100 at this thing and see
right,
what happens.
Right, exactly. What the worst
exactly.
can happen.
Yeah, I mean, it could either be terrible or it could be amazing.
We could open up a suit store with that kind of price.
Yeah, just resell it.
Exactly. And if it's terrible, you could probably sell it on Craigslist for like half of what you paid.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I like the way you think, Beef.
I'm very serious. If you're the person who bought this, please email me and let us know the story.
How it turned out.
Do a photo shoot, if you will. Send us images of you and your new Italian suit. Yeah.
Do you dress to the right or the left?
That's a nut question, right?
That's a wiener question.
It's a wiener question?
I think it's both.
Where did that come from? I've heard it. But
it's everywhere. I think it's just a common
thing. It's everywhere. Yeah. I don't know.
What does it mean?
Know. means which side do you hang
which
on?
Which side do you fall on?
Oh.
Like when you wear, but I think it's more like 70s, 80s, because these days nobody wears pants tight.
Right. Oh, I see. Yeah.
You don't That's wear not suit true. Matters.
That's not true. Hipsters are everywhere. We've got one working for us right here, and I'm sure his pants are tight enough.
Hipsters don't have enough to show, I guess. I don't know.
Is that what it, they tight no, pants, know, but man. No junk?
I don't know.
Can't you just tuck it to whichever side
junk.
You want?
Junk is cool.
Yeah.
We don't like it.
I was born with it, but I don't care.
But I don't need it.
Took it away.
Yeah, they're choking it off in their skinny jeans.
Yeah.
It used to be. Anyway. All right.
Talking about? What's wrong with us?
Get all these updates and more over on Twitter.
Facebook!
And then send your show ideas to
Facebook!
Scott the Jew. That's scott@thebrewingnetwork.com. Send feedback.
Facebook.
To feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. And then we'll read it on the air if it's nice enough or not nice enough. Or
if it's quality.
If we decide to. I don't know what the criteria is anymore.
If Justin feels
like reading
it. I don't
think we have standards.
Yeah. All right, it's time to taste some beer.
Hey, finally.
Whoa. How about that right here in the first segment? We got some beer sent to us from Marto Brewing. Eric Martin sent it to us. What's the deal with this beer, Moscow?
Well, he initially talked to Jay and myself on the Sour Hour and sent us a couple of his sour creations. One's a Brett Saison, a tart Saison. The other one's a raspberry sour. And Eric is his name, Eric Martin, and he's trying to go pro with some of his commercial quality homebrew. And
which one's the raspberry?
The red one.
Ah.
Yeah. I don't know. You tell me what you think.
You're being facetious.
Yeah, I thought so too.
No, I haven't tasted them yet. I was just, you know, we'll see.
Both of them are fantastic.
The raspberry aroma is incredible.
Yeah, Jay and I tasted his beer as well, and it was really just awesome. Mm. You can see why this guy wants to go pro. It's pro quality beer. So we just want to talk to him for a couple of minutes and get his process on these beers so you can create a beer of this quality yourself by following his techniques, and then we'll help him go pro if we can.
So Eric is pre-pro.
Yes.
Right now. And when he sent you this...
he's proto-pro.
This was his homebrew that he sent into Sour Hour.
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, you can tell by the label that it's... I mean, maybe that's like super hipster handwritten.
That's just a hipster label, I think, with the green marker on white white Avery label.
Yeah. If it was blue marker, it'd be totally different.
So you actually brought some beer from your house to the show?
No. It's been in this cold box the whole time.
So it never went to your house.
Oh, no, otherwise it would be
the commercial beer, on the other hand, made it to his house.
What about the two other bottles he sent you? What happened to that?
Right. Like six other ones.
Yeah.
Eric, welcome to the program.
Hey, good to be with you guys again.
Hey, thanks for being with us. We're liking your hipster logo, your labels.
Yeah, man, don't change a thing for the commercial ones.
Yeah,
it's real eye catcher.
Well, yeah, pretty sweet. Handwritten labels.
All right, so let's start with the. Did you say Brett Saison, Moscow? Tell us a little bit about this beer, Eric. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so that's a traditional style Saison. I hopped it pretty high, kind of traditional style. And I threw lactobacillus bacteria and a mix of Saison cultures and my Brett mix in there. And that the IBUs kind of counterbalanced that tartness to make it so where it's not sour, but still tart. Kind of going for a traditional Saison style. So,
yeah, I think you're closer to a traditional Saison style than a sour style, that's for sure. I wouldn't have guessed lacto. There's a little bit of tart's not the right word, but
it's breadiness.
I guess just lactic is what I'm looking at. That kind of sharp acidity is what
I'm
talking about. There's a little bit of sharp acidity, but not much. I would still, you know, you could have told me it's just a Saison. I'd have believed that.
It's very bitter.
Yeah, I would have guessed Brett was in there, but I wouldn't have guessed lacto was also added.
Yeah.
Did you add everything at the same time, or did you stagger the pitches?
No, all at the same time. I pitched two Saison strains, two Brett strains, this Trois, and then one that I cultured myself, and then just the lactobacillus delbrueckii. And I also dry hopped it really lightly with a new hop called Urillo. It kind of has a little bit of a citrus character to it, but not real strong. So,
yeah.
Are you flipping through paper notes there, Eric?
Just move my notes down here, yeah.
There's a good brewer here.
Making sure you get it right.
Eric, describe the fermentation to me on this beer. Was it pretty quick with those two Saisons working?
Yeah, it kicked off right away. It was probably finishing to where it was just down to you know, bubbling airlock probably every 20 seconds after within 3 weeks. And then I let it condition for about 4 months before I actually moved to the keg, and then I bottled it. So,
and how long has it been in the bottle?
About a month. I did not bottle condition it. I force carbonated it and then just moved it right to the bottle that way. So,
do you think the beer has changed since it's been in the bottle? Have you tried like to see what
it's done in 30 days? Just a little bit. I think it seems a little more lacto coming through. It seems like the dry hops kind of fell off, but I'm kind of looking forward to see what those dry hops will do with time, you know, with those hop glycosides, the new research and that kind of stuff, and listening to, you know, the new research and that coming out. It's kind of fun to watch the beer evolve, so looking forward to that kind of stuff.
Well, the bitterness will drop out like it does in all hobby beers, which is might be a good thing, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't, I mean, you know, maybe it's slightly bitter for a Saison, but it's not a bitter beer.
No,
is
no,
it?
No, not at all. No, it's not.
Well, I like it. I think it's very nice. Then, of course, the Brett's got a lot to grow still too, and I wonder if in the bottle that will still.
I wonder how much the Brett will still, because Saisons ferment really dry, and so that's why I wonder.
I like
how much there's going to be left for the.
Yeah,
Brett
but Brett will eat Brett eats wood. Like,
well, right, but there are Saison strains that will ferment down to pretty much where Brett.
Oh, I see.
It terminates also, so it's kind of a race.
I like the Brett character of this as it is now.
Just where it is, yeah.
So for me, it's way too bitter.
Okay.
Because I'm balancing that bitterness with that farmhouse portion of that Brett and the nice Saison yeast characteristics and the spiciness and the bitter. For me, it's too much, but...
So you want those hops to drop out, which they will do also.
Yes, the bitterness will drop, but the downside for me anyway is that Brett character will come up, and I don't know if it'll probably be great. I mean, this is a great start. So I'm not trying to like.
I kind of want both. I like it like this, and then I want it how you're talking about it too.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Like the Brett character now this early is. Phenomenal.
It's just
I guess
right,
is the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah. I see. Yeah.
I think fresh would be interesting too when the Urillo is still coming through.
Yeah,
and you get the actual kind of dry hop freshness coming through because now it's kind of just got a little bit of a lingering bitterness.
Yeah.
Contribution, but
did we get the age of this beer?
A month in the bottle.
A month. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a month in a bottle. It was in the carboy for about 4 months before I bottled it. Like I said. You know, I primarily fermented it with the bread also. It's not real strong bread character that's coming through with it, but, you know, like you guys said, as it sits in the bottle for a while, it'll be fun just to watch it evolve and watch that bread character come up. You know, something be fun to do is put the same beer in a Chardonnay barrel for, you know, 6 months to a year and watch it evolve. Be really fun, I think.
How long you been homebrewing?
About six, seven years, something like that.
Okay. Good for you. You're doing well. Tell us about Marto Brewing. You're looking to open a commercial brewery, and you have a Kickstarter campaign open?
Yeah, if you go to martobrewing.com, it'll just go right to the Kickstarter. I'm sorry, the Indiegogo campaign.
Indiegogo, okay, yeah.
It'll go there right from martobrewing.com. It'll take you right there. You know, we're looking to increase our cellar capacity. We are located in Western Iowa. The beer culture here is growing, but there's hardly any breweries in this area. I'm pretty good friends with some craft beer bar owners, and they're seeing the growth of craft beer really taking off in Western Iowa and Northwest Iowa. You know, to get sour beer and all these different, you know, barrel-aged beers, they're having a great response from the public and a good turnout. You know, we'll produce classic styles also, but I really think that in this area, sour beer and barrel-aged styles and that kind of stuff, and the IPAs, of course, growing like crazy is going to get some attention in this area and make Western Iowa be on a craft beer map. So,
yeah, I like your attitude. Just go straight for the crazy stuff, for the sour beer, and skip over that like learning curve hump because sour beer is so unique that I genuinely think that you can turn people on to beer with it. Not everybody, of course, but that's the same with hoppy beer and everything else. You're not going to turn on everybody. But it's really something unique that people will talk about, and then a bunch of people will just love it, especially those who thought they didn't like beer.
Well, I think you have a difference with the way you know some homebrewers turning craft beers are looking at beer with sourness. You either have sour beer, like a lambic, or you have beer with sour notes in it, like the Saison, not the Saison, but the Saison, like a Brett. or a tart beer where it's more beer focused than super acidity focused.
Right. But it's not ahead.
Yeah, for the most part, all, like I said, majority of production would be classic styles, but I think that putting a few of these out in this area is going to draw attention to our brewery and area, plus change of minds. I served the raspberry sour, which you guys have there also, at a tasting about 2 weeks ago in Sioux City, Iowa, at a pretty good-sized craft beer bar, and people were going crazy for it. It was really good reception. And
I bet.
Whenever they get sour beer on tap there, it's gone fast. So, and they can't get any there right now, so they're excited to have sour beer on tap there when I can get it to them. So
tell us about that beer. It's in our glass as well.
It's a fantastic beer.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that's probably close to about been bottled for at least 6 to 8 months, I'd say. I have to check my notes again, but it's brewed with Pilsner malt and a mix of different high-protein malts, spelt, wheat, and some oats. And about 3 months before I bottled it, I added raspberries. It was a concentrate raspberry puree, and let that condition for about 3 months, and I bottled it from there.
Well, you're doing a good job of keeping them clean. You're not letting oxygen in there, as far as I can tell. Which is, yeah. I don't know, that's always the first thing I look for in a sour beer, to be honest with you. Because it's so easy that they go from great to just awful overnight with that cardboard flavor. And it's just a note that it's really easy to pick up on for almost anybody.
Yeah.
These are nice and clean.
Yeah, if you're trying to pick nits on the raspberry one, I would say that it maybe needs a little more sweetness. It's a little over acidic, think. I think it needs a little more malt to balance it, maybe a little more body because it's kind of thin also. But I would just sit and drink pints of this.
That's what I like about it is all that
it's very light.
The dryness and the lightness, I would sit and drink pints of it.
Yeah.
This is not what I want in a 10-ounce glass. I want it in a pint.
Yeah, but you fuckers here probably give me 8 ounces of it.
Yeah, and then charge you double.
Right.
Yeah, it's a really... obviously, it's pretty dry beer, so it brings it back wanting more of it. And I'm a fan of a drier beer, for it's almost like a saison, like farmhouse style. That is, the base was on that, and that's kind of plays to that same style. Also fruited, but it got pretty sour once I added those raspberries in there. And
I bet, yeah.
That's just a single batch I made there. It'd be fun to be able to blend.
Oh, so it's unblended, too.
Together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just one single brew I did with that there. So. Oh.
Have you used this base beer with other fruit other than raspberries?
I have a similar base beer to that, very close to that. That's a raspberry sour that I'm just kind of sipping on right... I'm sorry, an apricot sour I'm sipping on right now that's really good and has a lot more mouthfeel than what that beer does. So it's... wasn't ready to send out to you guys yet, but... maybe in the future I'll send it out to you guys. So
please do. Keep them coming. I will say, and these are some of the comments I think JP was talking about too, when you have beer to blend, that's just going to change your whole game.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what you'll do. I think that this beer is fermented really well. And then you'll take a couple of notes and you go, all right, I wish it just had this and a little of that. And you blend that in. So I think you got a bright future ahead of you.
Yeah, you're off to a good start.
For a single barrel, this is really good.
Isn't that nice? Yeah.
I mean, I like the amount of kind of Pilsner malt bready character. Like it's very kind of subtle in this bottle, but it's there, and it makes me think of kind of like just like a tart cherry pie, which is awesome.
Yeah,
or a raspberry pie.
Raspberry
sorry.
Pie. Yeah.
And
Eric
I really
like
the Pilsner malt
because I was going for raspberry.
Right? Yeah. This is the best cherry sour I've ever had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, folks. You can go. Is it martobrewing.com?
Yep. MartoBrewing.com, or we got Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, all the social media stuff, but MartoBrewing.com, and that'll take you right to the Indiegogo campaign, kind of has a little gallery on there and information about the brewery, so...
All right. So go to martobrewing.com, and certainly you Iowa listeners out there, I know we have quite a few, support Marto Brewing. You're going to get some – I'm vouching for this beer right now. You're going to get some nice sour beer in your neighborhood if they make it to where they need to be to open up. And, hey, the rest of the country, support too if you got a couple bucks, because it doesn't hurt to have more good sour beer on the market as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, anyway. We're really close to Nebraska and not too far from Omaha, Nebraska either. That's where I – a lot of home brewing competitions in years past, so we're not too far from there. So
good,
people from up there can enjoy it too. So,
are you close to Hawaii? Because I would support you if you're. It's I think it's a little far, but I don't know.
No, okay. Not quite.
MartoBrewing.com. Everybody, go check it out. It's this is really great beer. And then I guess you could listen to Eric on one of the sour hours as well, right?
Yeah, the last I think episode 9, the last one we did. There's Jay and I doing a little more dissection of his process.
Cool.
But yeah, I was saying on the sour hour, you know, if everyone who was listening to this show donated a buck, he would fly by his goal and be able to do all his floor trenching and perhaps maybe a distribution footprint all the way to Hawaii. You know, you never know. Yeah. But, you know,
where I'll be living next week.
Help a fellow brewer out and help a guy who really knows what he's doing realize his dreams. And then you get some good sour beer out of it.
Yeah, I want more of it. All right, Eric. Thanks, man. And thanks for sending the beer in.
You bet. Thanks. Have a good one. Thanks.
Cheers, brother. Take care.
You bet.
Yeah.
This is good stuff.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
You got more in that, more of the,
yeah, sure do.
Of the raspberry?
Yep.
They're both good, but the raspberry I really like. And it's weird because I agree with you, JP, that it could use some body. It could use all of the characters
really?
You mentioned. However, I love it just as it is, too.
Sure.
Maybe I'm just a little too fickle, but I could drink a pint of it just like this.
Yeah.
And then I also would enjoy a little body, a little tart, a little more more raspberry, everything.
If you want to find something wrong with it, that's the only fault I can find with it, is that for me...
There's not enough
of this... It could use a little bit more body because I think it would help balance out that super... acid, the acid quality of it, and highlight the fruit a little bit more.
Yeah,
you know, and you can take that with a yeast strain that produces kind of more fruity esters, and you can, I think, complement the fruit a lot better.
Yeah,
than just doing it straight saison with and have it ferment out to kind of a lighter body.
What do you think about this? I'm asking Tasty, all you guys, just as it is. It's almost a Berliner Weiss that's had the syrup added so that you get – so it's a super
it's
light,
kind of that impact.
Low-alcohol beer that they add the syrup just to give you a little something.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you changed the body, then really it would become more like a lambic or something.
I get some of the raspberry tannins, which you would get from the puree and not necessarily from the syrup.
Okay.
So, which I like. I think the tannins help build the body a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he could even just do like a tannin adjustment where he adds some tannins.
I don't know. I think you need a sweetness. I think you need a little bit of malt.
In a sour?
Yeah, I don't know if that's possible. The bugs that are in there.
Or you get an unfermentable.
I think you keep a perceived sweetness.
Well, what is that? What do you do by process or recipe to add body to a sour? I don't know.
Crystal malt?
I think blend.
Munich malt?
No, I think you can only...
You add complexity, I could say, by blending, which I think would give perception of more background.
Yeah. But to actually brew it in there. Yeah, maybe you're right.
The bugs are going to eat all the dextrins, all the body that's going to build. It's going to eat it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Unless you stop the, you kill them tomorrow.
Which is just mean. I think that's terrible.
Yeah, sweet sour beers are just kind of like.
Yeah.
Well, sweet sour beer is very different than a beer with a little bit more sweetness.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
Which to me, I think, again, is like a perceived sweetness.
Sorry, you got to stop live stream. You got the Q&A show playing over there.
Damn it.
Lots of good questions to the
cover. That's going to make the first part of the show awful.
A little streaming problem.
You dick.
There you go.
Come back from Hawaii, and this is what happens.
I shouldn't have come back.
Yeah.
No.
You never would have done that.
I put it on pause. And then
See?
Fine.
I think the show's better off without me, guys. I think this is my last
show.
This is it. It's my last hurrah, and then I think, you know, JP, I've been grooming you all these years.
And he's certainly on the top of his
game. You're going to quit a month before 10-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Do I look like someone who's been groomed?
Yeah. I mean, what a rookie mistake. Who does that after 10 years?
I've never done that.
Yeah, you lost interest.
Yeah.
And I can hear people yelling at their iPhone with their earbuds too, because I totally just derailed this awesome conversation about process.
We
were learning a lot, and then I had to pipe up with
It's a good call, though.
What
it means the show will get edited in time, because now I have to splice. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. All right. More importantly, before we take a quick break here, let me, something we haven't talked about in a little while on this program, maybe since our good friend Tasty over here was a big part of it, and there were some other BN listeners, too. But the Sam Adams Long Shot competition is upon us once again.
Right.
So speaking of going pro, you know, some of the winners from the Sam Adams Long Shot have gone pro, in fact.
Yeah.
What a great experience. It's Sam Adams is hosting their annual Long Shot American Homebrew Competition, which recognizes the top homebrewers across the country. And this year, they're doing an East versus West competition. So the Mississippi, I guess, is the dividing line, and they're competing people east and west of the Mississippi against each other.
Good thing we're not judging.
Yeah.
I know who would win that.
Yeah. To learn more all about the Sam Adams Long Shot Competition, you can go and enter to win. Just visit samueladams.com/longshot. samueladams.com/longshot. Of course, you can probably Google all this and find it pretty easily, too. The homebrew submission window is May 1st to May 16th. So either brew something that you have right now.
Brew Strong is playing.
Someone just called Bebo and told her she was on the phone when I said it.
It's late, though, right? Like, it's done now.
Yeah, it's done. I'm sorry.
Right.
So either brew something right now or pick the best thing you got in your cellar there and submit it, because you only have a little window here, May 1st to May 16th. And, of course, Tasty won the long shot one year.
What an honor that was. Jesus.
Got to ride it out for 2 years. That was cool.
Yeah, I got flown there and shown, picked up at the airport and all that stuff twice.
I still think you planned it that way. I feel like you called the hop. You know, you had a couple connections. I feel like you called the hop growers and you go, hey, what are all the things I can put in my beer that Sam Adams won't be able to get next year when they pick me as the winner?
He was talking to Nico, getting the inside track. Mm-hmm. Martha Stewart went to jail for that. Come on.
Did you?
Is that inside trading in craft beer?
Really, I don't know.
Sure.
Now, they give you a huge, in addition to all the honors and JBF, they give you a huge chunk of change, $5,000. Now, I don't know if you ever remember Tasty saying this or if you were bullshitting me last week, but Tasty says he never cashed the check.
No,
he said he has a canceled check.
Okay.
I took a picture of it. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Because I was going to say, I'm last calling bullshit
like,
on that.
I didn't need it.
It was
just
modern
the honor.
Printers now. I should try to run it through again. You know?
Your money's safest under the mattress.
They would never notice.
Yeah.
It's a rounding error.
Yeah.
Electronic deposit.
Yeah. That's a lot of hash.
That's right.
If ever there was a competition, a homebrew competition to enter, this is the one.
It's so cool because you get to go to different tastings. Like, you get to go to tastings in your region when it's like when they display it to the public.
Yeah, that's right.
This is in addition to all the awards that they and bonuses that they mention on the website. You get a lot of other special treatment. Like, I remember Alex Drobshoff, another local. Did he win it?
He won the year after me.
He won the year after you. And I remember getting to go to an event in San Francisco where they poured several long shot beers, and Alex got to pour there, and you were there, Tasty.
Yeah.
And so they really roll out the carpet for you. And of course, they put the beer in a 12 pack, I think, right?
Yeah. You're in every. Like, it's distributed in every state.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to send it.
Imagine that.
You have to send it to your relatives. They just go out and buy it.
They're like, hey, just buy it.
Buy it. I got to say that shit.
What do you want from me?
Look at this. I just Googled him to see what kind of beer it was, and the first hit was Sam Adams Long Shot winner Alex Drobshoff. I don't know who this dude is, unlike Mike McDowell, but Lori knows. Everybody knows
that's on Google.
Really? Yeah. Mike McDowell.
Yeah. Well, Alex didn't hand out cookies when he was, you know, with
I
his
guess
beer.
Not.
So.
I got to teach Alec how to do this.
Yeah, there's a whole method to Tasty's madness.
Yeah.
All right, please go check it out at samueladams.com/longshot and enter, guys. I'd love to see some BNers
be
the next, because we've had a good run with long shots.
Get our resumes,
I'd like to see some more BNers in there and.
Well, you know,
dominate yet another competition.
Right. Yeah. Why not win everything all the time?
Exactly.
I am kind of an overachiever.
Take over the world.
We're still here. 10 years.
When I'm not doing nothing. That's my rule. I'm zero or overachieve.
Less than zero.
Yeah. I don't
or know. I mean, they're on vacation or suffering.
Yeah.
Either way.
That sounds about right, actually. That sounds really close to accurate.
That's why we're friends.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk craft beer in Japan. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to try some of their beer. 888-401-BEER if you want to give us a ring also. Hang in there. It's the session, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
The National Homebrew Conference is coming up this summer, and More Beer wants to send you. To celebrate 20 years of serving homebrewers, More Beer is giving away two full pass registrations to the 2015 National Homebrew Conference, June 10th through 13th. That's right, two full passes, full access to all the presentations, club night, and pro brewers night, two seats to the grand banquet and awards ceremony, 2 1-year membership gift cards to the American Homebrewers Association, 4-night stay at the beautiful town and country resort, round trip airfare to and from the San Diego airport, 2 VIP passes to the Brewing Network's own anniversary party, a $250 prepaid Visa gift card for food and your other expenses, and dinner with the More Beer crew. Visit morebeer.com for all the details, and to enter, you can enter once a day through April 15th, and the winner will be drawn on April 25th. If you've already purchased your registration to the event and seats to the grand banquet, those fees can be refunded. Enter today at morebeer.com.
First Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer? They make beer.
Watch out!
Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, 2 blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can. Featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
Your support of the Brewing Network means everything to us. We couldn't produce shows without you. And we love giving you something extra for that support, like Brew Your Own magazine. You already know it's a great brewing magazine full of recipes, equipment how-tos, discussions of beer styles, and brewing techniques. Whether you're new to brewing and just starting out or you're an old pro, you'll always learn something from the articles in Brew Your Own. Plus, they're amazing special issues like plans for building a Brutus 10 system, 250 classic clone recipes, and the Homebrewer's Answer Book. Brew Your Own magazine and BYO.com are awesome resources for any brewer, whether for yourself or as a gift. When you subscribe or resubscribe from the Brewing Network homepage, you directly support programs like this. Get a great magazine and support the Brewing Network. Subscribe to Brew Your Own right from thebrewingnetwork.com.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters, this is Jamil Zainashev, and I want to tell you about Heretic Evil Twin. You might be familiar with my homebrew recipe, which uses massive late hopping to create a balance between the malty sweet and the hoppy bitter, along with an outrageous malt and hop character. I wanted a beer with the same bold hop and malt character, so we played around with the homebrew recipe until we were able to make a great commercial version too. We've created a beer rich in malt character, full of caramel, toast, biscuit, and an ever so subtle roast note. On top of that, we piled in an insane amount of Citra and Columbus hops at the end of the boil, as well as in dry hopping. This damn the cost approach to hopping gives Heretic's Evil Twin a great blast of citrus and tropical fruit that can't be matched by any other hop. The result is a bold, malty, hoppy, but easy drinking beer. This is our top seller, our flagship beer, and I couldn't be prouder of it. Cheers.
To find Heretic beers near you, click on Find Some at hereticbrewing.com. Session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
All right. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for sticking with us. We got a lot to do tonight. I did want to let you know about the homebrew yeast workshop and webinar happening in San Diego. Our good friends over at White Labs are doing this during NHC. It's actually on the 10th, the day of our party. So I think you can go to the homebrew yeast workshop during the day and then come party with us at night. Go over to whitelabs.com right now and check it out. You can click on the education link. And if you sign up early, you get a little discount. So make sure you sign up early. I think it's $150 only if you sign up early. And I think we can all agree that yeast is pretty much the most important thing you can learn about in homebrewing. So you don't have to be going pro to do this. It's actually meant for homebrewers. It's the Homebrew Yeast Workshop. There's space available, and you can sign up for the webinar, too. So even if you're not going to the conference itself and to sit there in the room, they do a great job of putting it on video, and all of the materials are displayed to you. You can see the speakers. You can see everything. It's a world-class operation that they're doing over there. So go to whitelabs.com and check it out. It's the Homebrew Yeast Workshop. Beardy, you went to the one at CBC?
I did. I went to there it was focused on professional kind of yeast management. But if this is on par with the professional one, it's definitely worth going. I would recommend it for anybody, all levels of homebrewing.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of stuff. They even cover some Brett and even some sour, funky stuff, too. So it's not just sack yeast management also.
Beautiful. All right. So go check it out over at whitelabs.com. Yeah. And then real quick, we had Eric from Bakersfield called in. I guess his beer made it past the first round as a Brewing Network club member.
Yeah.
Eric, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm totally stoked. I've been brewing for probably 3-4 years now. A friend of mine in town told me about you guys, and I've been listening to the podcast from the very first day back in, 2005, and just learned a ton from you guys. And on a whim, this year I decided to send in a couple beers for my first competition, the NHC, and I had a Helles that won first place in San Diego and is making it through the final round. So I just wanted to thank you guys.
Awesome.
A tremendous amount from all of you.
Dude, yeah. Helles.
Well,
awesome.
Yeah, with the Helles, too. Congratulations. Yeah. And, of course, thanks for being part of the Brewing Network Club. That's cool, too. But that's awesome. So are you going to go to NHC?
Yeah, actually, I was planning on going anyways. I'm in Bakersfield, so the fact that it was going to be nearby, I thought, well, this is the opportunity to go. I was just planning on going and having a good time, hanging out at the BNA 10.
Nice.
But it turns out now I'm going to be a little nervous on Saturday night.
All right. Well, hang out with us on Saturday. And
I think he's rooming with Beardy Saturday night. So.
Oh, yeah. Good. I don't have a room yet. So.
Well, he's nervous about it.
So. He's nervous. Yeah. He's not nervous about the award.
Yeah, my wife that's in the bed. No problem.
Okay, good. Good. All right. Well, you're going to have a good time because it's a lot of fun when you've got a dog in the race or whatever they say. I don't know. Is that a saying?
How do you know?
I don't know. It's fun for me to watch other people have dogs in the race.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what it
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Despite all of JP's bad jokes over the years, I still managed to learn something from you guys. So.
Hey, wait a minute.
Excellent. See? He's all right, JP.
No.
And the sharks suck.
There you go. All right, Eric, I'm going to let you go before it gets ugly, but I'm loving every bit, Eric. Cheers, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right, brother.
All right. Well, the Sharks do suck, but they are infinitesimally better than the Bakersfield. What's their hockey? Wait, I don't.
Yeah. Right. I might follow hockey if Bakersfield had a hockey team, just for the oddness of it. I would
the
go
Bakersfield.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Hammers and they just knock you upside the head.
Because San Jose is known for its ice.
Yeah, right.
So that makes sense.
It all is. Right, they have a frost, Warren. Idiots.
They do.
They do. It's the high desert. Yeah, that
San
doesn't
Jose?
Just refer to the substance. Oh,
no.
Sorry, I thought we were still talking about Bakersfield.
They have a frost dip like once or twice. The dew freezes on the
You ordered off the menu at Dairy Queen, right?
See? Right. Yeah,
you can do that too. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's get to our guests tonight. Our in studio guest is Rye Bevel, and he is the publisher of Japan Beer Times. Welcome, Rye. Damn it. Try it again.
Good evening, and thank you for having me.
I'm still on vacation, Ryan.
Strike two.
I have to apologize.
That's more mistakes than you made all year.
You just take me out of the saddle for a week, and I'm
no
like,
more vacation, sorry.
Yeah, I know, right? Great. You'd rather be miserable but hit the buttons right.
Yeah. Lighter drugs next time. How about that?
Yeah, that's what it'll be. Well, because we know your level of psychosis, and 2 weeks in Hawaii isn't going to help.
That's true.
I'm gonna do shit.
Well, it helped for the 4 hours before the show. It's what it did. And then, all right. So, Rye, here's what I'm going to do. Because, of course, we've got our guest on from Coedo. Mm-hmm. And this is why I'm about to pitch it to you this way. I'd like you to introduce our guest, because I'm just going to screw it up anyway, and you really know what you're doing. So you can get the name right, and you get the brewery right, and the region right, and the whole thing, so that we know who the Japan brewery is that we're talking to.
Do you want him?
Because I'm just going to confuse people.
Do you want him to sip your Coedo beer for you, too?
No.
That I'll do. Your glass if you want.
That I think I can handle.
Okay.
We'll see. I might dribble a little bit. So,
Ryan,
who is our guest from Japan?
It's Shige Haru Asagiri, but you can just call him Haru.
Haru.
That's his popular name. He's a, you know, traveling around the world, and that's the name he goes by.
Perfect.
He's a charismatic guy that just likes Haru.
Haru, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Haru Money.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for being here with us. I appreciate it.
You aren't hungover this morning, are you, Haru? Are you hungover?
No.
Okay, good. He's been traveling. Okay.
It is Monday. It's Tuesday there.
Haru is the president of Coedo Brewery, which is in Saitama, just north of Tokyo. Okay. It is one of Japan's largest and best craft breweries. They have a really nice domestic presence, but they're also exported to many countries overseas.
Okay.
And increasingly America.
And how large is one of the largest? What are we talking here?
So this is where somebody's going to have their calculator out because...
Do it in whatever the measurement is there. That's fine.
I got a calculator. Go ahead.
Okay. So most things are measured in kiloliters there. Yearly production capacity. Haru, what's your yearly production capacity, if you don't mind? Haru, yep.
1,000 kiloliters.
Okay, 1,000 kiloliters is about what they're doing. So that's fairly large in Japan. To give you guys an idea of breweries in Japan, you need to produce 60 kiloliters of beer a year to get a beer license, and then there's another one of 6 kiloliters of beer a year to get what's called a haposhu license, which just means beer with additives, so spice or sugar,
okay,
something like that. So that's roughly 500 liters a month or 50 10-liter kegs.
I see.
Yeah. So they're big at 1,000 kiloliters a year.
Okay.
I'm still waiting here with my calculator and bated breath.
What am I supposed to do here?
Somebody needs a calculator just to determine what that is in
what
barrels.
What 1,000 kiloliters is in barrels.
So I do 1,000.
It's about 80% of...
It's 80% of 1,000?
How many...
So 80 barrels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He said 1,000 kiloliters?
1,000 kiloliters. It's much larger than... Yeah.
And
we will get back to this math problem
10
later.
Right. Yes. Which is 10 hectoliters.
Yes.
Right?
Haru, how long has the brewery been open? What year did
you... We started brewery in 1996.
Oh, wow.
So we are one of the oldest microbreweries in Japan.
How did you guys just discover craft beer and decide to do it in Japan?
Actually, our company bases in organic farming. So we... did like to utilize the local brewery to make beer. That's the first motivation to start the brewery.
Beautiful. That's a good reason. It's a craft beer is a local, slowly made, locally grown. All right, so that's your first motivation. But what about you still need kind of a market for it, too. Did you feel like the people needed some craft beer or that they would purchase it?
At that time... in Japan, microbrewing itself was prohibited by law.
Oh.
In 1994, government deregulated the rule, and we are allowed to exist. That's the background of the brewery.
Okay, got it.
So just to follow up on that, 1994, there was a whole lot of deregulation going on in Japan and telecommunications, all kinds of things. You know, the Japanese economic bubble had burst, and they were trying to find ways to... revamp the economy, so deregulation was the answer, and it affected the alcohol industry. Previously, you had to make an enormous amount of beer to get a license, more than you know any microbrewery could make. This was industrial level, so they changed that in 1994, so that if you made 60 kiloliters of beer a year, you'd get a license. So 1995 was when the first breweries went online. That, and I think the first was Echigo Beer, which, you know, is exported to America.
Okay.
And so 1995, the first ones finally got their license and went online. Koito Beer started in 1996, so they were one of the early guys.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
Was it because of a regime change, for lack of a better term? I know the economy, you said, was right, slowing down, but was there like a new prime minister, president, whatever, that made those rule changes?
Haru, who was the prime minister at the time that was in charge of the deregulation in 1994?
At that time, Mr. Hosokawa.
Oh, Hosokawa. So that was interesting because he was the first, what do you call it, opposition prime minister, I guess the LDP. Had been in power for many decades, and so he was the first. So he might have been.
Yeah, that was like the end of the Hirohito era, wasn't it? Like the early 90s?
Yeah, but that didn't really have so much effect on the politics. Okay. It was more, I think, the change in the prime minister for a more,
open
economy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So 1,000 kiloliters is about 8,000 barrels.
Yeah, 8,500.
So that's generally considered fairly large for a craft brewery in Japan.
8,005.
That'd be fairly big here.
I'm actually surprised to hear that it's that large. I thought it would be
8,500.
Faction is going to be about that number.
Yeah. Oh, in a year, he said.
Yeah.
Wow, so they're making a lot of beer.
They're doing good. Yeah.
There are about 7 or 8 craft breweries in Japan that have roughly that capacity. And then after that, it's just a big jump down simply because of the size of the brew house. So it takes a pretty significant investment in the equipment to get to that level of Koito, and also you have to have the sales channel. So there's only about 7 or 8 at that level in Japan right now.
Okay.
So what was the craft beer scene like in 96? Were there people looking for that beer, or you had to introduce everyone to craft beer?
Were
you making drinkers as much as you were selling beer?
So I arrived in Japan in 1997, right after college. So this was when craft beer was just exploding. And it was kind of gimmicky. At that time, it wasn't even called craft. It was called G beer. And the G, it can mean like area or local. So essentially local beer. And the media coined that term. And it seems like they appropriated it from jizake or local sake, because that was popular. And they said, oh, wow. Okay. So now people are making local beer. And so lots of breweries thought, well, if we just like use local products in our beer, everyone will drink it. And it wasn't always good beer, but that was the whole way it got started. So everyone was excited. There was lots of media enthusiasm about these new local products, this new local beer. Mm-hmm. And so I was there in 1997, just when it was getting kicked off. But like I said, I mean, places didn't understand that quality was important. They thought they could just be local and dump some local product in. And so there was a big shakeout right around the time that I got there in 97, 98, you started to see places.
Which isn't that different from here.
No,
by
it was
the
very
way.
Similar to America.
Yeah. Were they making light lagers?
No, very different. So it was a lot of beer with crazy additives. Not everyone was doing that, but no, like I said, local products. So
by additives, you mean different fruits or different
fruits,
vegetables? Okay.
Vegetables even. Yeah. So there was like a tomato beer. But, you know, and there were some great breweries. I know that contests don't mean everything to everybody, but Echigo very early on won a World Beer Cup medal for some of their beer.
Sure.
So there were great beers, but it wasn't lagers, light lagers at least. It was mostly German-style beers in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
We recently got I wish I could remember the name, but everyone knows I'm terrible at that. But we recently got contacted by a Japanese broadcasting agency for some of our footage from last year's World Beer Cup. And the Great American Beer Festival just the World Beer Cup, mm-hmm. For a Japanese brewer who had won. And they were doing a whole showcase on it on this news program, mm-hmm. and they just wanted some of the footage to see them up on stage collecting their awards.
Nice. Well, how much did we charge for that?
So that's how you
gave
went to
it
Hawaii.
Away.
See, that's the problem.
No, that's how he went to Hawaii.
Yeah. Charged $50.
Well, Koito won a silver medal for their Indian Pale Lager, Kiara, at the last World Beer Cup, and they've previously won for their Beniaka, which is an interesting beer that uses a sweet potato, which is one of the native or the vegetables native to the brewery's area.
Okay.
But usually there are quite a few Japanese craft breweries that do okay at the World Beer Cup.
So, Haru, as we're learning about the Japanese beer culture, I'm curious, do breweries work together in Japan like they do here to share ingredients and information and really help the whole scene?
Oh, yeah. Brewers started to share the information and share the raw materials.
Yeah.
And the culture here in craft beer industry is quite supportive and friendly.
Excellent. So that's craft beer all over the world.
It is, indeed.
Now, yeah, I think so.
How about things for consumers like beer festivals and special events like that? Is that something you're able to do?
Yeah, there are many beer festivals recently, and a lot of people started to appreciate the varieties of the beer, especially from small guys like us. So the relationship between consumers and breweries can be seen.
Good.
And this is really appreciated, and a lot of people started to enjoy craft beer culture.
Yeah, festivals have been a key part of craft beer growth in
Same
Japan.
Same here, yeah.
And actually, last I saw Haru, we were both hammered at a craft beer festival.
Nice.
Not far from where his brewery is. And it's a major one, yeah. Keiaki Hiroba Craft Beer Festival. Haru, do you know how many people come to that festival, the Keiaki Festival? It's like tens of thousands.
Yeah, that's a local one.
Wow.
Yeah,
really?
It's massive.
So it can't just be craft brewers there. It's an international beer fest, maybe?
I mean, they're importers. So yeah, several of the American craft beer importers and European craft beer importers there. But there are 200.
That is huge last year.
Yeah.
How many breweries are there in Japan? It's only been about 20 years that craft breweries exist.
Last count? 217 craft breweries, but now we're getting into some gray areas because Kirin and some of the industrial, well, Kirin recently opened two microbreweries. And so there's a big debate about whether that is craft, but they're certainly, it's a microbrewery and they're good. But somewhere around 220. Now, it used to be much more. There was the shakeout in the late 90s, as I said. It used to be well over 300.
Okay.
It's now down to about 220, but it's rising now. There's a steady increase. We see, a couple new breweries, maybe two or three, open each month, and that pace is accelerating. In an interesting trend, many of them are brewery or brewer owners, which is very typical in America, but previously that wasn't the case in Japan. It was companies that decided they wanted to get in for business reasons or they had some kind of peripheral interest in the beer industry.
Sure.
But now we've got, people who love beer that want to open up a brewery.
And they're entrepreneurs as well.
We're homebrewers.
Yeah.
Is that because it's the first generation of homebrewers?
Now, homebrewing is illegal in Japan, over 1%. That doesn't mean that people don't do it. So there are some homebrewers among those.
So they're coming off from under a rock and then starting a brewery.
Right, exactly. That's the case. Or they worked previously at another brewery, a lot of people from overseas who are married to a Japanese spouse that want to open up a brewery. We're seeing a lot more of that.
Okay.
Or is that like people in the States who theoretically distill their own spirits?
The homebrewing, yes. That's what it sounds like, right?
Yeah. Home distilling?
Everyone just turns the other cheek if you're homebrewing.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So
like
you can't. It has to be under 1% to legally homebrew in Japan. But
1% ABV.
Yes. So who homebrews under 1%, right?
I totally would.
Oh, yeah.
The Germans give that to kids. Right. It's 1%.
Right. That explains a lot.
There are homebrewers, just not a lot. There's small clubs, but there's hundreds of homebrewers, but I wouldn't, not nearly the, say, 1 million that you see in America.
Yeah.
And I personally think that's one thing that needs to change, just to grow interest in beer in general. And to have people have that intimate connection with beer. So we've actually talked to Kirin about using their lobbying power to dispense with those silly laws. Let's homebrew.
I think you need some reggae music with a lot of words like legalize it. If you do that for several years, it
don't
seems to work.
Try fight it.
It seems to work. You don't need politicians.
Yeah, man, because we need some beer in here.
Yeah, that's all it is. It seems very easy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Haru, how was the shakeout for you guys in the late 90s?
Good question.
You guys got through it, obviously. Did you see a drop-off in business? How was that time for you?
So Haru, shake, by the shakeout, he means how, you know, a lot of places were going bankrupt in the late 90s.
Oh, yeah.
So how did that affect you guys?
It was very, very difficult time for us. So a lot of Japanese people just thought local beer, which was called Jibiru, was not nice. And this was just souvenir product, so it's not worth to drink. So we had to, yeah, survive under such difficult situation. Yeah, but we could survive. And our message was very simple. And beer is beautiful, like your life is beautiful. And we started to educate local Japanese people about beer.
And that's the key, is to educate. It was the same here in the States and everywhere else, is you have to educate along the way.
The more people know, the more they enjoy.
I see.
Now, I have a question for you. So I was talking to Rai just before the show, and he mentioned that you were the first person to start calling the beer craft beer instead of micro beer.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep.
Can you talk to me about that and why you made it different? Why did you say this is craft beer, not micro beer?
Sorry, the connection was not...
Ah, that's okay.
Nice, so I couldn't hear.
I'll try again. You are the first to say this is craft beer, not micro beer. And can you tell me why you made that difference? Why is it craft beer instead of micro?
Oh, yeah. That's why in Asian country, so a lot of people beer have thought that beer is made by large brewery under the automation system, but beer is originally brewed by hands with craftsmanship. So I really like to emphasize the craftsmanship to brew the beautiful beers. So that's why I learned the word craft beer from the U.S. and started to use
rather than
microbrewery.
I like it because obviously we use craft beer too, but I don't know that we ever talk much about why over here. Because we also, it's still in the media, it's interchangeable to use microbrewery too. Most of us in the industry, we use craft beer.
Uh-huh.
But I like your description of it because that's really why. I think it's the same here. It's because it's handcrafted. Mm-hmm. It's artisan. It's handmade. So
yeah, artisanal beer is.
We have a.
This is the nice. Yeah.
Oh, I was gonna say we have a brochure from your brewery, and it's got a picture of somebody walking down an aisle full of fermenters.
That's Haru.
Oh, that's you.
It's like a really cool picture.
Yeah, it's a really cool picture.
Shot.
Do all of your brewers wear white? Mm-hmm. Like over there, like white lab coats,
like Ankerstein.
Haru, you look like an angel.
Yeah. Is it really foggy in your brewery?
Yeah, we always think the cleanness of the brewery, to keep the brewery clean, is very important. So if we invite the people for brewery tour, we always ask them to wear white lab coat.
Yeah, it's like it's like something from Breaking Bad. You're in this this like meth lab, but Koito's done very well with sanitation, which is a problem that plagued a lot of breweries. And he talked about surviving in the late 90s, and it was because craft or G beer had made such a bad name for itself among consumers because there was just so much infected product out there.
Yeah.
And it affected all the craft brewers. And so like you said, you know, like from today on, we're going to make craft beer. We're going to, you know, pay a lot of attention to the hands-on element of it. And we're going to focus on sanitation.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just Koito. There were several other breweries that did this and managed to create a turnaround for the industry, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Now, Rye's shirt says, bad beer is the enemy. It's a black shirt with bold white letters. And it's true. I mean, I wonder, you know, what is the ratio? Like, how many bad beer, how many good beers does one have to drink to undo the one bad one that turned them off? Or how
many,
like, 1 year of bad Japanese G beer culture equals, what, you got to do 10 good ones to undo it?
Well, this is a problem everywhere with craft beer, and probably more so in places where there's not that many breweries. But Tasty, I know that you comment on this sort of stuff on social media all the time, and we've even mentioned it on the show, that bad beer really is the enemy of craft beer, because it does turn people off, and it's not representative. When you're trying to get people into beer, and you say, oh, no, just go try the pale ale, and it's a bad beer, it's going to take them, to your question, yeah, Scott, several visits or several yeah pushes to go try another craft beer.
Yeah, it ain't one-to-one.
It wasn't a good experience.
And right? Brewery hurts all of them.
Well, a lot of bad breweries hurt everybody, yeah, too. I mean, yeah, they add up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the first bubble we had here in the 90s was as much about quality, but it was also about there weren't that many craft beer drinkers, you know, created. All of a sudden, we had more supply than there was demand, too.
Okay, yeah.
And, of course, now we're kind of like, you say, well, that's going to be the next bubble. Well, no, we got plenty. We have a lot of demand.
So
that the bad beer is still being, you know, consumed and
right.
And
I think support. That our the only defense, the reason maybe we haven't collapsed too, is that we have a lot of education going out.
Yeah, people
too
are getting smarter.
So not only do we have good beer, but we have education going out. So people now, maybe they'll try a bad beer and understand. Not all of them, by the way. I'm still not defending bad beer.
No, yeah.
And understand that maybe I should try something else, or maybe it was the beer line, or maybe it was, you know. Yeah. So
now, speaking of supply, mm-hmm, we do have the Cueto Ruri. Mm-hmm. The pills in our glasses. We have a few more to get through, too. I find it, the label, I don't know if you guys saw this, it's super premium Japanese craft beer, which kind of plays into the U.S. sort of stereotype, I guess. Like, I picture a Japanese game show, and it's the super premium prize you win. It's like, everything's got, like, four modifiers,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see that it's rooted in some sort of reality.
Haru, can you tell us a little bit about this beer, the super premium lager?
The Ruri.
Ruri. Yeah.
Yeah, what's the unusual ingredient?
The Ruri. Yeah, this beer is obviously Japanese-style Pilsner, and we use the Pilsner malt together with hops, which is called as Styrian Golden Bobek. So I think you can feel nice flowery note, and together with honey taste from malt.
From the malt.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Very flowery.
Yeah. And where are the malts from? What country? From
the malts are from Germany,
yeah,
and also from Canada.
And also Canada, yeah, okay.
So, Jeremy, did you say Austria?
Canada. No, Germany.
Okay. And, okay, sorry,
and
we were breaking
Canada
up.
Canada.
Okay. And I noticed, in addition to the Styrian Golden Bobek, you list as the hops, also Magnum and Aurora.
Mm. Mm.
So, interesting, to me at least, that, you know, the
combination.
Yeah, this combination on what's essentially a nice drinkable Pilsner.
Yeah. What is your best-selling beer, Haru?
Recently, Kala, IPL, India Pale Lager, is really appreciated among the people. Recently, Japanese consumer started to realize the magic of hops. So
nice, good. About time. Yeah. Well, this Pilsner is very nice as well. And is this exported to the U.S. also, or are we the only ones who get to try this here? Cueto exported to the U.S. Haru?
Yeah, we started to export to U.S. and at the moment, Southern California and also in Nevada and Texas, Illinois, in those states. But I hope we can distribute in the Northern California soon.
Yeah,
so
me too.
Word from Craft Imports down in Long Beach, who their importer. These guys actually help with the export of, you know, Lagunitas, Sierra Nevada, Coronado Ballast, all those guys. So they're bringing the beer in, and they wrote to say that it would be available in June in Northern California.
Oh, beautiful. So, okay, excellent.
Both draft and bottles.
So, Rye, before we take a break,
yes, sir,
and since we're still covering the craft beer scene as well, when did you start the magazine, Japan Beer Times?
A little more than 5 years ago.
Okay.
I was already publishing other magazines. It was just something, you know, my dad and my uncle were in the publishing industry, and just, you know, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah.
And I got into it while I was in Japan, because when I mentioned I was there in 1997, I was, you know, hired to run a local magazine that caters to expats living in the area.
Okay.
So when I went back after grad school at Berkeley, went back in around 2006, I started up some magazines. The story of Japan Beer Times and how that got started is probably best for after the break. But it got started under some interesting circumstances.
Okay.
Yeah, we can do that.
I love the tease. Now yeah. I want to know what happened. I was arrested. And,
possibly deported.
These are the stories that we like.
It wasn't quite so juicy, but you know, it was started under alcoholic circumstances.
Okay, yeah,
there was alcohol involved.
Yeah, hey, that's how this company started. I'm pretty sure.
That's bizarre.
And I bet that Haru started his company under the influence of alcohol as well.
I can't remember. I was drunk.
Let me just ask Haru one last question before we take a break.
Yeah,
I wonder, Haru, do you need that alcohol to make you feel better about your beer traveling so far away, all the way to the U.S.? Do you worry about quality when it goes that far?
Yeah, the quality of the beer is so important, and I need beer to travel to U.S.
Yeah, that's a better answer. Yeah, you got to drown.
I need beer to live in the U.S., Saharu. So I don't blame you.
You know, one of the good things about Koita, though, it's brought in cold chain. So the same guys that are shipping it out via cold reefer,
yes.
You know, the Sierra and the Stone and all that, are also bringing it in. Cold, which is the right way to go.
It is, because otherwise you can't even send a Pilsner over here.
Right, that's what I was wondering.
You'll never sell another one once, you know. So, well, that's good, Haru. You were able to get a cold distribution chain all the way here.
Yes, that's fantastic. Yeah. And this is the great work of craft imports.
Yep, okay. Beautiful.
Yeah, we can rely on.
Yeah, I was just talking. So, Maui Brewing and Stone Brewing just built a distribution company together to send beer back and forth from the islands. Mm-hmm. And their key point was that, you know, Maui was sending beer. Actually, it doesn't matter which way it goes. Whatever brewery, they were sending full kegs, and then empty kegs were going back. And it's a complete waste of money.
Yeah.
So the crux of their distribution company was that, say, Stone would send beer to Maui full. And then Maui would fill those same kegs with their beer and send them back to Stone. And what a great way to provide, and it's all cold, same thing, cold distribution. What a great way to get beer moving over long distances without waste. Because they were literally sending boxcars full of empty kegs direction.
That really is more environmentally friendly, because now one-way kegs and plastic kegs are becoming real popular, because then you don't have to worry about getting the stainless steel back to the brewery. If you can work out a relationship with another brewery in that country,
right,
the stainless just bounces back and forth, and that's awesome.
It's cost effective. It's environmentally friendly. Now, of course, most brewers are just sending bottles and cans and things like that, which is, you know, it's a little easier. But it's nice to have fresh draft beer,
and it's better for the beer. Plastic is fine, but it's no stainless.
And one of the cool things with Koito, it's a similar story with, you know, Coronado and Ballast and Stone going over to Japan and then coming back with Koito. But in many instances, it's actually collaboration beers between Koito and Coronado.
Oh,
and
I love Ballast. It.
And then, you know, they've got some other ones coming up. So they're not just sharing kegs, they're sharing recipes.
The recipes, too.
Which is very cool.
Oh, that is very cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, meanwhile, I can get beer in a plastic bag, but I can't bag my groceries in it.
Well, you can. You just have to pay 10 cents a bag.
Some places you can't even do it.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
San Francisco proper, it's banned.
This isn't the America I know.
No. Actually, it is.
Oh, all right.
It's exactly the America you know. All right. I have to take a quick break. Haru, please hang on the line. We'll be back in just a couple minutes to learn more about the beer and more about Japan Beer Times. We're going to take a couple minutes here. It's the session, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
You're listening to The Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Limited time only. Enter promo code BNARMY during January and February for 10% off any Monster Mill. Don't settle for the second best grain mill. You want a Monster Mill from Monster Brewing Hardware. Monster mills are tough, come in 2 and 3 roller designs, and are made right here in the USA from superior materials for longer lasting performance. Pick the mill that's right for you at monsterbrewinghardware.com and take Bevo's advice.
Trust me, it's always better to have a bigger tool than you think you need.
Monster mills have the best warranty in the business. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Visit MonsterBrewingHardware.com now and check out all the mills and mill accessories. Remember, during January and February, for 10% off any mill, enter promo code BNARMY. Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and the freshest ingredients, backed by the best customer service in the business. Do you like to mash using efficient fly sparging, but would like an easy way to heat your strike and sparge water? Enter the new Brewer's Edge electric mash water heater, a plug-in, anywhere, precisely controlled heater for strike and sparge water. Ditch the fumes and second burner and make mashing easy. Go to williamsbrewing.com today and browse their vast selection. That's williamsbrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy the Williams way.
Hey, Wooly, I'm beat. Can we find a nice tree to just hang out in for a while?
You're beat? I've been swinging through this forest for 50 years, ever since we
first escaped from the circus. I know, but there's got to be more to life than exploring this creek and trying to populate the valley by copulating with loose, hairy girls.
Marquis, stop. Look!
What is that?
It looks like a man-made treehouse.
With fresh food.
And craft beer.
Welcome to the Creek Monkey Tap House, boys. Grab a seat. Creek Monkeys drink free.
Awesome!
The Creek Monkey Tap House in Martinez, California takes their mission of fresh food and beer seriously. They only serve locally raised beef and chicken, as well as local sustainable produce. It's better for you and the planet, and it just tastes better. The beer and wine at Creek Monkey Tap House are chosen with the same care for the highest quality and rotate frequently to make each visit an adventure. Yeah. Swing on in to the Creek Monkey Tap House and enjoy a new legend of amazing food, beer, and wine. The Creek Monkey Tap House, online at creekmonkey.com.
For nearly 40 years, one organization has had your back. The American Homebrewers Association. Are you a member? Why not? Join the more than 40,000 brewers who enjoy all the American Homebrewers Association has to offer. Like Zymergy Magazine, in print and online, plus the Zymergy app. Zymergy is the leading publication for amateur brewers around the world. Supporters also get member deals at their local breweries, bars, and homebrew shops. These alone quickly pay for your membership. You'll also get great member-only resources at homebrewersassociation.org and access to AHA events like the National Homebrewers Conference and the National Homebrew Competition. The American Homebrewers Association promotes the hobby of homebrewing, protects the interests of homebrewers, and brings beer lovers together. Become a member today. It costs less than a batch of beer and gives back so much more. Visit homebrewersassociation.org.
That's it. I've had it. I am never putting hops in my beer again.
What? Why?
It's just too ridiculous. Insane prices, stupid contracts, high shipping costs, crappy selection.
Dude, you need Nico Brew.
Nico Brew will rock your f***ing face right the f*** off your f***ing skull. $5 shipping to all 50 states, plus fantastic international rates, get you low prices on Nico Brew's great selection of hops and more. Whether you're a home brewer, a pro brewer, or a homebrew shop owner, Nico Brew can get you the hops you need in increments big and small, single orders, spot buys, or full contracts. And there's only one place to join the uber special secret Elite Bare Bones Club, where you'll get the best deals anywhere.
Holy f***ing shit!
NicoBrew.com. NikoBrew. Nico Brew, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
The Brewcasters are back.
And it ain't 401 beer.
Whatever.
welcome back to the program, and thanks for hanging out with us. Hey, don't forget about our friends over at Beersmith, Beersmith Homebrewing Software. You can go to beersmith.com and check it out. You get a free 21-day trial of their homebrewing software. I don't even think they should just keep calling it homebrewing software. It's just brewing software. It does everything you need it to do. It has all sorts of gadgets and tricks that you don't even know exist. And then it's fully supported by Brad over there at Beersmith. There's videos. You can email Brad if you got questions, but there are so many tutorials about how to use every little bit of it that you just don't have to take our word for it. Go to beersmith.com right now. Download your free 21-day trial. It works on both PC and Mac, and I think it's going to change your brewing life, especially if you're kind of a nerd, because it's just great nerdy software that you can do everything you need it to do. Beersmith.com, great sponsor of ours and a hell of a piece of software.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least it's current.
It's current. It works.
I mean, yeah. At least it works awesomely.
Unlike our chat.
Right. Is it down again?
No, it's just okay. Everyone.
Just every week.
Well, the new Java update that happened recently, like, it just nuked a bunch of people.
Yeah.
All right. He's working on it, everybody.
Are you still with us, Haru? Uh-oh. I might have lost Haru.
Maybe not.
Let's call Haru.
Java update.
Let's give Haru a call.
Yeah. I will do that. Let's see if he connects real quick so I can at least tell him what happened. Maybe he thought I said goodbye when I said we're taking a break.
Yeah. He's like, oh, okay, fine. That was real short. Yeah.
Hi, Haru. We lost you there for a second. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There we go. All right. So we are back and still talking about Koedo, but we got a little tease from Rye before the break to tell us about how the magazine got started.
Mm-hmm. So, like I said, I was in the publishing industry. I started up my own magazines, and one of the magazines was a culture magazine, music, art, photography, and it had a beer column, because what is culture without beer?
Yeah, right? Agreed.
And nothing. So I went to this very popular bar in Tokyo called Popeye that has 70 taps of craft beer, and asked them, for an advertisement, and they looked at the magazine, and he said, well, you need to come in next week. Okay, well, sure. So I came in next week. I was very hungover at 3 p.m. in the afternoon and was not planning on drinking. And, the master was like, nonsense. He starts throwing pints out on the table. And I'm at the table with several brewers from major companies or owners. And they said, we're talking about my magazine business. And I thought they were going to sponsor this beer page in my culture magazine. And we were kind of hammered. After many pints, and they suddenly said, you should do like a beer magazine. And we were drunk. And I was like, yeah, if you guys sponsor me, I'll do it. And they're like, yeah, we'll do it.
Oh, wow.
And suddenly I was like, okay, well, I guess I have to do it.
Yeah.
And so I did it, not really thinking anything of it. And so, almost 5 years ago in the winter, I launched this beer magazine. They helped me cobble together sponsors to launch this beer magazine, bilingual, English, Japanese.
Yeah.
There's a Real Ale Festival in Tokyo. And so we debuted it at the Real Ale Festival, and it was just nuts.
People loved it.
People were lining up at the table to get copies. People were lining up to be sponsors, and I was just kind of blown away, and I realized it's now or never. I had actually a very lucrative job at a law firm in Tokyo.
Okay.
And I just wasn't liking it because it's just...
Because it's law?
Yeah, it's law. And, I mean,
it's work.
I mean, it was, they were good people, but sure, I wasn't loving it. And so I just made the leap of faith and I quit the law firm and basically used all my savings to launch my own publishing company. And
your dad and your uncle are like, Jesus, how many times have we told you, go into law?
Money. Yes.
And now what are you doing?
Yeah. Basically, it was kind of like that. They're have you not learned from us how little money publishing makes?
But you're going, no, this one's different. But
this is what I want to do. I love to do this, Dad. And I ended up, just to scrape by the first, year or two, I literally lost, all my income and had to cash out some of my savings. I had to teach English in fast food restaurants to get by.
Okay.
But I was just having so much fun. I had a bum knee. I couldn't do surgery on it, so I'm limping around,
Wow.
And then these t-shirts, the Bad Beer is the Enemy t-shirts, I started selling those, and they were massively popular.
Okay.
And so that kind of helped me get by. And then, but slowly but steadily, by about the second or third year, I realized this was going to be a legitimate business. So I started trying to hire more people, and after 5 years, I think we hit our stride.
Okay.
The first few years were really, really hard, and I think what helped me push through was knowing the stories of so many brewers who had been through far worse and who had struggled so many more years and had also, like, you know, cashed out all the, you know, all their savings to do this.
Sure.
And so it put a lot of wind in my sails.
All right. And so now you guys are doing great. You got a lot of advertisers,
yes.
Popular magazine. And it seems like it doesn't just cover Japanese beer. It's a little bit international too, right?
Right. So it's called Japan Beer Times, and it focuses primarily on Japan, but we just want to be a great beer magazine in general, wherever you are in the world and you read us. So, you know, I recently interviewed Ken Grossman and, you know, the Lagunitas crew. I went down to Coronado and Ballast. I want to bring out things in those interviews that are going to be interesting to any reader.
Yeah.
So those are beers that are imported to Japan. So we want to write about that because Japanese consumers are very interested in what's going on overseas and they want to know the stories behind the beer. But again, we want to be interesting to everybody. We want to be a great beer magazine, period. Not just a great Japanese beer magazine.
That's what it should be. Content is king.
Mm-hmm.
And you're bilingual.
Yes, I am.
Haru, how is Rise Japanese? Can he speak Japanese well, or is he shit?
I can speak in pretty well English. Especially when he's drunk.
Then his Japanese gets great, I'm sure.
It's on fire then.
Where did you learn Japanese?
So in high school, I was born and raised in Richmond, Virginia. And they had like a lighthouse program where you go in there and you dabble in Japanese. And it was fascinating to me. So I went to University of Notre Dame and started studying Japanese there. My third year in university, I went to Japan. So that was 1995. I was just blown away. It was so fun.
Okay.
I mean, it's just so fun because South Bend, Indiana is the most miserable place on the planet. It's just,
right.
I mean, I'm not.
So Ethiopia was fun at that point.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, you know, and I loved it. So after graduation, I applied to a program and went back in 1997, as I mentioned. And my office, it was an international center where I had to publish the magazine for the expats, as I said. And it was right across the street from one of the first craft breweries in Japan. It was a place called Shiroyama.
Okay.
And that was my first craft beer in Japan in 1997. And they're still around, and they're good. So
great.
It's great. Every time I see the guy, I was like, you know, you're the reason I, like, quit the law firm, Dan. That's why I'm poor. But after 5 years down there, I wasn't in the beer industry. I was, you know, doing the publication. I kind of wanted to get back to America and shake up life. So I went, applied to Berkeley, got into grad school for Japanese studies, and I ended up moving just a few blocks from Triple Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Which is also very fortuitous because, I mean, I can't imagine many brew pubs that you wouldn't, you know, better more than Triple Rock that you would want to live close to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, good beer, good people.
Yeah.
Longest running brew pub in America. Is that correct?
I think that's about right. Yeah.
Certainly California.
Certainly in California, mm-hmm. and it might be America. Yeah.
Wow.
Because it's that brew pub distinction. Keep that in mind. But
That's where that's where I really started to love craft beer and went back to Japan in 2006 to finish up my graduate work. And that's when I got into publishing, and that's where it all kind of fell together. You know, the publishing and the beer, it coalesced.
And you do it from here now? Or?
So, yes. About 18 months ago, my wife and I, who's been very supportive of my endeavors and my hangovers as well. And I moved back here. We have two small children and wanted to be closer to family. Internet and Skype enabled us to be anywhere, and why wouldn't you want to be in the Bay Area if you can be anywhere?
Yeah.
I have a great, great team of people working in the main office in Yokohama.
Okay.
Beer-centric people, trustworthy, great people that run the day-to-day. And it allows me to focus more on what's actually going on in the beer world rather than the everyday office, you know, duties. So I'm able to, you know, be at a radio station like this and travel to places like Sierra and Lagunitas and report on this thing. So everything's worked out pretty well.
I like to hear it.
And I still travel back to Japan every month or two just to report on what's going on over there and
do you teach Japanese at fast food restaurants here?
That's a great idea, because I'm not making any more money.
I want to know, is that, were you paid out by the fast food places?
How did that work?
Or was that just where
you taught
people?
That up.
This is actually, it's not so strange. English education is a big industry in Japan, and so there's lots of people that want to learn English.
Just flagging down passersby.
Exactly. Just, no, but you know, you meet people and they want to learn English, and the fast food restaurants is a great place to do it, and you can go in there and just spend, you know, $2-3 on a milkshake, and they're happy to have you sit there. And
wow.
I feel like that's what you get.
The venue.
I thought for sure it was like an organized thing. Like, but no, you're like, no, that was my office.
That should be the next American program.
It's
education
very common
at
in
fast
Japan.
Food.
And so I actually started doing...
I'll have a number two and then a side of English right over here. English, anybody?
Yeah. Me? Well, yeah, I do.
I need to brush up on my adverbs.
Yeah. So I tried to do it in Brewpost, and that just devolved into stupid very quickly.
So fast food was at least a little, you know, you had Sprite.
But I had a few students that liked to pound the pints while they were learning English, and their English got better with each pint.
You loosen up the old thing, jowls.
Gets much better,
All right, Haru. I know we still got you there, and before we keep you too long, I have your IPL in my glass.
You do?
Okay.
This is the Kara.
We're still drinking the Hefeweizen.
It was sitting right there in front of you. I just grabbed it. It's the Kiara India style pale lager.
Yes.
Can you tell us about this beer, please?
Okay. So the TTV didn't allow us to use India pale lager.
Oh.
So that's why we have to show it as India style pale lager. It's a bit strange, but we had to.
Our TTB here in the US. Yeah. They didn't allow it. Right. Oh, they're dead.
In Japan, it's quite okay to say IPL, India pale lager.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the uniqueness of this beer is the use of the hops from Southern Hemisphere. And I think you can feel the aroma like white grape, which is made by the use of Delsin Solvin from New Zealand. And also we use Motueka from New Zealand and also from Tasmania. There is nice hop Galaxy.
Wow. Oh, Galaxy too. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And we choose the lager yeast because at the beginning we invited German Brewmaster to learn about beer, and we are good at making lager style too.
Okay.
So this time, instead of ale yeast, we decided to use lager yeast.
Very nice. And where do you get your yeast, if I can ask?
Actually, there is no brewing supply industry in Japan. I mean, domestically. So we had to source the yeast from all over the world. So this one is sourced from Germany. This is
the
difficulty of Japanese brewers at the moment.
Talk to me about that. So it's hard to get ingredients.
Hard to get the ingredient, hard to get to the machines, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah, those things. There is no domestic beer industry for the equipment or craft beer culture.
So for ingredients, do you have to buy in very large quantities, in bulk, from other countries so that you can keep making beer, or do you have a steady import?
There are several importers for malts, for example, and we can buy the unit of 25 or 50 kilogram sacks.
Okay, yeah. And how about...
Ecuador import directly from the foreign countries.
Being an island and importing all of the ingredients, basically, except the water, what does a pint cost in Japan?
Oh, yeah.
I can answer that. I'm out a lot drinking when I'm there. So,
yeah, so to sell a pint.
It's thankfully come down a little bit, but it can range... anywhere from the cheapest places being around 800 yen, which is what, about $6-7 bucks? Maybe. That's very, very super cheap.
So that's about right
for
here.
Anywhere, but it gets, it's typically much higher, closer to for an import craft beer like Stone, it could be as much as $10 a pint.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's still cheaper than beer in Australia.
Yeah.
It really is. It's cheaper than beer in Australia. Imports in Australia are incredible, incredibly high, but locally made beer is still $10 a pint. $9, $10.
Yeah, so, Haru, if you...
But the prices are similar. Yeah, I think so.
Still, you think it's about... Okay, it transfers the same.
Haru, yeah. if you ship your beer to Australia, you can sell it for 9 million yen per pint.
Yeah.
The U.S. craft breweries are not seeing all of that money that they're making in Australia.
What?
No, yeah. No, that's excise tax, right. Of course. Now, Haru, what about hops? It's already hard for American brewers to get hops where all these hops are grown because there's just not that many of them. How about for you? Is that also difficult?
It's actually difficult, especially for acquiring the popular hops like Amarillo.
Yeah.
There are not so many farmers or hops in Japan recently, but some farmers may start to cultivate nice hops for us. I hope
are in the there... future,
yeah, we can source domestically.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had to import.
Is the climate okay to grow hops?
In northern part of Japan, it's okay.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So are there any Japanese varieties of hops that you use?
Sometimes the Sorachi Ace is so famous hop,
yeah,
which is originated in Japan. But unfortunately, Sorachi Ace is not cultivated in Japan anymore. So we have to buy from Washington State, for example.
God, we are dicks, aren't we?
Well, I apologize. Well,
so what happened? You live in Washington State?
What happened?
Yeah, it's cheaper to
grow
it.
Yeah.
But there is one domestic variety of Japanese hop called Shinshu Wase.
Yeah, Shinshu Wase.
And it's grown by a few brewers on their brewery grounds and premises. But I don't know how much people would like that hop. Even some brewers in Japan don't like it and don't use it.
So okay.
It's a strange hop. Mm. It's funky.
It's a little funky, okay. Like cheesy funky, oniony funky.
Like James Brown funky.
Foot Locker funky.
Okay, so a little cheesy funky. Yeah. All right, yeah.
It's I'm more of a Sports Authority guy, but...
If it were James Brown funky, I think they'd go for it.
It might be a little more Rick James.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
It's Rick James funky.
Rick James funky.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Can I get some help?
Now, Haru, you, since your company started with thinking that you had local ingredients, mm-hmm. local barley, is this something you guys think you'll do in the future? Will you grow more hops and you'll grow more barley?
Yeah, this is my concern right now. So we really like to grow hops, grow barley. But unfortunately, in our region, the climate is a little bit too hot for growing hops.
I see.
We will try as an experiment. So, and also our specialty is to the use of local Japanese sweet potato to make beer.
We're sipping on some of this now.
Is this the beer I have in my glass
this
now?
Is the Beniaka.
Yep. What is it? Beniaka?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell us about this, Haru.
Okay, so this beer is brewed with Japanese sweet potato. We grill sweet potato at oven at a lower temperature. So during this process, the sugar of sweet potato gets caramelized. Then we make the paste mesh from sweet potato and add in Blue House together with barley malts. And this is the basic process to brew this beer Beniaka. In sweet potato, there is a bunch of starch inside, but we need to change the starch into fermentable sugar, so we need the barley malts, which have a lot of enzyme to change.
So you were the first to figure out there how to use this local ingredient, sweet potatoes,
mm-hmm.
and be able to convert the sugar to make good beer.
Yes. And in Japan, in southern part of Japan, there is an area called Kyushu. In that region, sweet potato has been used for making distilled alcohol for a long time. So the use of sweet potato for making alcohol product is part of Japanese nature.
Got it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And in our region, in Tokyo region, in our town is the first place where sweet potato started to be cultivated in, let's say, more than 300 years ago.
Oh.
So the sweet potato is popular agriculture product in our region. So
great.
It is quite natural for us to use the local agriculture crop to make beer.
Sure.
Have you guys experimented with wild fermentations, being kind of seeing what natural yeasts are floating around?
Actually, we haven't tried yet.
Keep it clean so far. Just keep it.
Yeah.
Remember, he's the angel walking down the fermenter.
Yeah. Right. Oh, no.
You think he owns a brown lab coat?
Well, I mean.
Now, I want to talk about the sweet potato a little bit because, first of all, this is my favorite beer I've had tonight. But I did not expect it. I thought, okay, when you said sweet potato, I just thought, all right, we're in for something weird. But it's not weird. It tastes just like beer. It's a great, like, nut brown flavor. It's an amber malt. I mean, I never would have said, oh, why did you put sweet potato in that? You don't taste any of that. I guess I would have just expected some of that sweet potato flavor to come through, but it doesn't.
Well, it does have some sweetness, I'm surprised that you like it.
It tastes more like a crystal malt.
Right. It's like an amber ale with a little crystal character.
Yeah.
It's got a medium crystal character.
How many kilos of sweet potatoes per, like, you know, for 10 kilos of grain, what's the ratio? How much, I guess I really want to know is how much sweet potato is in this beer.
Yeah. How much of the fermentable? So a normal beer would be mostly two row, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you might add some adjuncts. Is the sweet potato taking the place of the two row, or is it 50-50? Is it, do you see what I'm saying?
What percent of the fermentable?
So, Haru, can you talk a little bit about how much?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The sweet potato.
The sweet potato is used, actually, we use much sweet potato, and like too low, but of course we need enzyme of barley malt, so not all, but
But a lot. It sounds like it's a lot of the fermentable comes from sweet potato, and then enough barley just for the enzymes. Right?
But we also use barley for making alcohol as well. So
okay.
Yeah.
Mixture of sweet potato and two loaves. And also we use other crystal malt as well.
Yeah. So would half of the fermentable be from sweet potato or less?
Oh, more or less.
A little bit less. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it cooked sweet potato or raw?
It is cooked sweet potato.
It is cooked.
Glued one.
Because you have to convert it first, right?
Well, that's the mash, though. Yeah. But do you cook it before it goes into the mash?
Before.
Are you roasting it? Are you doing that for flavor or for any sort of enzyme conversion?
For the purpose of making nice flavor, we roast sweet potato.
So roast sweet potato.
Caramelization.
Into mash.
Yeah. No.
Could you smoke the sweet potato and come up with like a smoke?
Sure.
A smoke sweet potato?
No, we don't smoke.
Good. Don't do that.
But you could.
Could you smoke the sweet potato and get high?
Well, last week from...
You put a hole that goes...
You can use it to get
high. Like a bomb. Potato bomb.
Yeah. Yeah. Last week from Carton Brewing, we had a smoked pineapple.
Oh,
yeah. Here, and they smoked the pineapple. It was delicious.
And it was nice? Okay.
Yeah, I think a smoked a sweet potato beer would be pretty good.
It might be great.
I mean, because it has that sweet kind of... Meritzen-esque quality to it.
Yeah.
A lot of smoked beers kind of have.
Yeah.
You could totally do that.
Well, after this, after Carton discussion with the smoked pineapple and after this idea of smoking, I'm into this idea of not using smoked malts, but smoking your adjuncts.
Smoking
this
the other things. Yeah. So, all right. I'm just hung up on the sweet potato. You
Thanksgiving is going to be really good for you. Yeah.
You roast the sweet potato, Haru.
Yeah.
And then it goes into the mash tun with barley?
Yes.
So do you just you roast it and then you grind it up, you mash it up?
Mm-hmm. We grind it up?
Grind it up, yeah. and then throw it all in with the rest of the grain. And then from there, you do a normal mash, like a normal, I don't know, 1 hour mash or something.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, okay. Great. So it just it's you add this.
Wonderful.
I know. I know. I'm just saying. Like I know it's simple, but I just felt like it can't be that simple.
This is going to go in the next next issue or the next edition of Should Justin Know Should This? Justin,
right. Yeah. Exactly.
So what do they do with the sweet potato?
You take hot water and you put grains in it. What the fuck is that?
It just seems like it wouldn't work. Is what it like?
Why?
Okay.
Why?
All right. What about clogging the mash tun? You can't mash out because it gets blocked.
So, yeah, how do you?
Too much. God, what is it? You know what I mean? So we use rice hulls when it's too much. Yeah, okay, so what about that?
Yes, sometimes the whittling, a filtering of mash is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we can do. It takes time, but we can do somehow.
Do you have to put rice hulls in or something else to help filter, or no?
No.
No, you just do it.
You just run up, you just go slower, and so it takes
longer.
Slower.
Yeah.
They just fucking do it, Beardy.
I'm helping clarify for you.
Haru doesn't even care. They just do it.
Hey, whatever time it takes, it takes.
That's right. I like that attitude. It's very zen.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is a brewery that has traditionally taken its time. It was, originally they were taught from a German brewer, and it was lagers mostly. And so they've become accustomed to that slower, longer process of brewing. It was only recently, I think, that they started doing ales. And even the Beniaca, recently they revamped the recipe using an ale yeast instead of their lager yeast.
Okay.
Which I think was a great improvement on the beer.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, Haru, thank you for sharing your beer with us. It's been great.
Thank you so much.
I would like to come taste it fresh over there at a beer festival and get drunk with you and Rye.
And try to speak Japanese.
Justin's Japanese gets better as he gets drunker.
Oh, my God. I doubt that.
Nigiri, Ohio. I don't know.
I can't even speak English when I'm drunk. So.
Yeah, you're more Middle Earth.
Yeah, I'm much more Mordor. It's wonderful beer. Thank you for sending it so that we could try it. And it's a great story and good beer. So thanks, Haru.
Thanks.
All right. What time is it over there, Haru? Is it early in the morning or late at night?
Actually, we are at noon, 11 o'clock.
So I'm letting you go just in time to start drinking. You have to go have some beers.
So Haru, I'll see you on May 13th at the big beer festival at Keiaki. We'll get drunk again.
Oh, yeah. Let's meet up.
All right. I'll see you then.
What is that? Do we want to announce that to our Japanese listeners?
If you're going to be in Japan, it's a massive festival.
So May 13th.
It runs about 5, 6, 7 days.
Okay.
It's the Keiaki, which means elm in Japanese, but the Keiaki Beer Festival. It's just about, I don't know, half an hour, 40 minutes north of Tokyo by express train.
Okay.
And this is massive. Tens of thousands of people.
Wow.
One thing we didn't mention on the show, but which is very awesome about Japan, is that there's no open container law. So you can get your beer at the festival, and you can walk around the park. You can go wherever you want. You can jump on the train with your beer.
God bless Japan. Yes. I love it.
The festival is just amazing. It's in an open public area.
Yeah.
Like this park you have out here. Just outside the Hop Grenade Studios. It's you can just sit out there and drink.
We have an event that happens here all summer long in this park, and it's called Blues and Brews. But you're not allowed beer in the park.
There are no brews.
So we're the brews. You have to come sit over here and watch it. So really, there's only, I think, Las Vegas and New Orleans in the U.S. where you're allowed to walk around like an adult with your adult beverage.
Well, in Japan, they serve beer on the trains.
Oh, God bless Japan. Right. I'm moving.
Yeah.
Well, but you can't home... Oh, okay. You don't
you
care.
You can't homebrew. It does get weird sometimes.
When's the last time I homebrewed?
I've seen people on BART with full glasses of beer in their hand.
Well, but if the BART police come by, it gets ugly. Yeah. Get shot for that.
Oh, those actually exist?
Yeah. All right, Haru, thank you again for being on the program. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
Have a nice day. Yep.
All right, there we go. And, Rye, you don't have to go anywhere if you don't have
thank
to be
you,
anywhere.
Thank you, because there's still some beer out here.
Okay, good. Yeah, we got beer left to do. We got a few segments left to do. Thank you for setting that up for us, too, Rye.
No, thank you. And, one thing I wanted to mention is that Koedo's a great brewery, but there's many great breweries in Japan.
Okay.
You know, I could do some shout outs, not just because they're
friends.
Feel
free, but yeah.
I mean, there's some fantastic craft breweries. Baird Beer in Japan. It's an American who's been there many years, and he's just blazing trails, doing amazing things. There's a young female brewer over there named Kaori. She works for Mino Beer. So there's a big contingent of female brewers.
Is there really?
She works for Mino Beer. But yeah, there's actually many nice. More female brewers,
we're over
a larger percentage of female brewers in Japan than in America.
Oh, interesting. Why do you think that is?
Because that's a good question. But I really think because women are a little bit disenfranchised in Japan. I mean, it's a very masculine society, and craft beer is a really weird place that they can go for refuge and sure. be their own person and express themselves. And
how
do great
cool
things
is that?
Beer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She does some great stuff. Shiga Kogen is doing some amazing things with hops. These are all world class breweries.
Great.
So yeah, I mean, I don't want people to think there's only Koedo. I mean, there are many craft breweries over there that are great, and if you go. Definitely try to drink them. And what's imported into America isn't actually all that representative of what's available over there. So there's a big kind of, divide, sort of a mismatch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Chris White from White Labs mm-hmm. is very big into Asian beer and the growing mm-hmm. beer scene. Does a lot of work in China, but also a bit in Japan too. Mm-hmm. And he's been telling me the same thing. You're not the first person to say that. Is that go to Japan and see the beer scene because it's exciting.
You will not be sorry.
Yeah, it's, mm-hmm. he said it's fun. That the festivals are fun. It's very exciting. People are really enamored with craft beer. And so he finally got me to go to China. And now I guess we should go to Japan.
You said enamored, and I thought at first I thought hammered. With craft beer, and that's actually true. Public inebriation is completely acceptable in Japan.
Is it really?
I mean, I don't like here in America. It's actually a little bit conservative.
It is,
But over there, it's just a different culture.
It's you a normal thing.
Completely hammered in public.
Well, that's because I think at least my view of Japan was sort of a more buttoned down and respectful of authority and just
it is,
But
they need some opportunity to let it all hang out.
So and alcohol
the pressure pot
that.
Doesn't blow and alcohol is the way that
see this might be bad for me because the one thing that sort of holds things together is the social pressure right. of like hey don't get too right. drunk in public of don't course. Get too gnarly if I go to Japan and they're like no man do it Jesus I might never come back from that
I don't, well is that what happened in Hawaii you almost didn't come back from that right.
yeah. but I mean I might
here
I mean I might come back from that and do the same thing here that kind
yes.
of not
oh,
never
yeah.
come
right.
like the bubble might burst I guess.
Yeah.
All self-control will be gone.
Yeah.
Because if I go to a place where it's acceptable.
Well, look, it's hanging by a thread anyway.
That's it.
This is my point.
Groping people on BART.
Yeah. Do I have to know Japanese?
No, actually. Most of Japan, especially the big cities, most people understand English. Most of the signs are in English. People don't necessarily speak English that well, but with just a few beers in both of you,
some hand signals
will work out.
A piece of cake.
In beer, it's basically the same thing in Japanese. Biru. You kind of
All right.
garble the accent, it'll still get across.
All right.
I'm just taking a calendar. Yeah. What'd you say, May 13th?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Justin pulled
Justin's
up his calendar.
Clearing his calendar.
I'm free. I mean, I am wide open May 13th. JP, on the 18th.
Hey, when do I get to do shit?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't have anything to
you
do.
You don't like flying.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
I mean, what do you want to do? I've offered. So, all right, perfect.
Yeah.
So on the 18th,
great.
And then the 25th is an off week anyway. May 13th.
There are beer festivals almost every single weekend in Japan throughout the summer. So if you go, there's probably going to be something on.
Wow. And the laws for that are relaxed, too, of how to put on a festival?
That's what you're worried
it's
about.
Pretty laid back. And most of them are all you can drink, and they're cheap. So you drop, say, $30, $40 for all you can drink.
Yeah.
And obviously they're priced for, people to sip. And if you get some pretty hardcore dedicated craft
sippers.
Drinkers from, these parts over there in Japan, it can be...
Interesting.
Quite a lot of beer that you can drink for $30, $40.
Sounds like a great time. A very great time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. Actually, it's not going to be so quick.
No, it's going to be a long break.
If you're listening live, it's going to be a long break. But if you're listening on podcast, you won't know the difference. Koedo Beer Company. Go check them out in Japan. Great beer. We're enjoying it over here. And then we're going to come back with Rye and talk more about the Japan beer same time
stuff.
Fascinating things going on.
Plus, we got some feedback to do. We got some beer news to do. We got all sorts of things to do. And some beers to taste that JP brought in.
Yeah, I did it.
So, Rye, if you'll help us with that, that'd be cool. Hang in there. It's the session. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
You're listening to the Brewcasters, on the Brewing Network. A few things happened 30 years ago.
ARPANET migrated to TCP/IP, and the Internet was born. Revenge of the Jedi was renamed Return of the Jedi and opened in theaters. Mila Kunis and Emily Blunt were born, beginning a rad fantasy in my mind.
But all of that pales next to the fact that HopTech opened its doors and began blowing homebrewers right out of their mash tuns. HopTech doesn't fuck around. Real people shipping awesome shit straight to you. Their new website is fast and easy to navigate. Or just call 800-379-4677 and let badass bitch Jade and the gadget guy Roberto blow their warm load of customer service all over you. So visit the site or visit the store in Dublin, California, and support those that support you. Get your brewing on at hoptech.com.
If you don't know Yeast Man, you're missing out. White Labs Yeast Manager Yeast Man is available free to any brewer. Yeast Man is your direct link to White Labs yeast production facility. Yes, you can check yeast availability, and yes, you can place an order, but Yeast Man is much more. View yeast quality control and analytical reports. See your big QC day entries and reports. Get access to the entire White Labs catalog, specials on overruns of freshly made yeast, and customized options for your account. Yeast Man is the only real-time online ordering in the business connected directly to factory production. Yeast Man is always on and always live. It's the largest online marketplace for specialty brewers yeast and related products. Visit yeastman.com today and tap directly into White Labs production facility. Gonna brew? Yeast Man to the rescue.
When I order a beer, I want my server to know more about it than I do. I want someone who enjoys good beer and loves helping others enjoy it too. I want someone who knows how to pour a perfect pint for every beer style. I want a Cicerone.
The Cicerone Certification Program is creating the type of people who help you enjoy great beer. Home brewers and craft beer lovers know beer is more flavorful and complex than ever, and it takes some serious knowledge to store and serve beer right. Cicerones know beer. There are three levels in the Cicerone Program: Certified Beer Server, Certified Cicerone, and Master Cicerone. Cicerones are truly the sommeliers of beer. The best beer locations have a Certified Cicerone on staff. Relaxed and unpretentious, Cicerone are tested on storing and serving beer, beer styles, flavor and tasting, the brewing process and ingredients, and pairing food with beer. Learn more about your next beer guide at Cicerone.org. Certified Cicerone, because it takes top talent to present a perfect pint.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the Five Star treatment today.
Adventures in Homebrewing have the knowledge and expertise to craft their own gear and original recipes. Some of the things homebrewing.org creates and manufactures in-house are the Brutus brew stands and propane burners, the Serial Killer adjustable two-roller grain mill with 7-pound hopper, custom stainless steel false bottoms designed to fit kegels, coolers, and mini-sized brew pots. The brewers at Adventures in Homebrewing have designed a huge selection of original recipes for extract and all-grain brewing. Adventures in Homebrewing original recipes are tried and tested, proven to be of the best quality. And right now, Adventures in Homebrewing is shipping 24 of their best recipes for free. Visit homebrewing.org for the most current selection. Once you try one of Adventures in Homebrewing recipes, you'll keep coming back for more. And now, it's even easier with free shipping on these kits. Brewing Network listeners receive 10% off their homebrewing.org orders when they use coupon code IPA at checkout. See terms and conditions for full details.
You're listening to the Brewing Network. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck.
Yes, welcome back to the program. Thanks for sticking with us. Just had a little dinner out there. It's a great thing about the Hop Grenade. This new studio. You can have a beer and chill out with people. You don't have to be in my kitchen. I don't have to look at you in my kitchen anymore.
I don't like being in your kitchen.
You don't,
right.
You don't,
I never really liked it.
You don't pee in my bathroom.
I still pee in your bathroom.
I mean, yeah. Technically, I guess you pee in my bathroom, but I share the bathroom with the Moskowitzes.
Oh, okay.
You
know.
I got to say, I do miss your spaghetti sauce.
Oh, yeah.
They used to make us.
Oh, maybe I should bring in one night do pasta. Fuck you, JP. You're fine. You know what? Get the fuck out of here. You can diss everything good. Except for my pasta sauce.
Yes, Uncle Tony's sauce.
Can't diss Uncle Tony's sauce.
I don't like that.
It's too caramely. It's too dark. Too many dark flavors. You let it simmer too long.
You are a Greek idiot, is what you
I
are.
I just like that.
Look, you impressed my people for 200 years. You know, what are you going to do? Impress me again?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to burn
about...
the city down. I'm
You'll eat this
cue.
Sauce.
I'm going to take a cue from Baltimore. Just burn it down. I don't care.
Go ahead.
I don't even care right now.
They're just standing aside. Oh, I won't do that. And it was Aunt Gloria's sauce, by
I'm
the way.
I'm eating right now. Yeah. I don't care.
But I don't like that.
Yeah. We're just going to play the JP puppet for the rest of the time.
The puppet. Virtual JP.
All right, let's do some beer news before it gets too late. Beer news is brought to you today by the National Homebrewers Conference. That's right, it's happening. It starts June 11th. You can go to ahaconference.org. There are tickets still available. It's in San Diego at the Town and Country Resort, which is an awesome place to have it. I'm looking forward to it this year. Of course, we're having our 10th anniversary party at the same time, but the conference itself is going to be fantastic. Go get your tickets right now, ahaconference.org. All right, what's in the news?
Well, heading down towards San Diego, you might run into Cal Poly Pomona. And that college fired up its new stainless steel brewery back in December. And it's joined a growing number of colleges that are now offering courses on the production of craft beer.
Nice.
This program at Cal Poly takes a step further, though. What they are actually kegging the results of their labors, and they're selling it on campus. So they're calling it Innovation Brew Works. The director of the dining services for the Cal Poly Foundation, Aaron Nielsen, says to make the beer here and sell the beer here and have a cafe on site, we have an educational component, and we're the first to put all of those pieces together. A few feet away, senior chemistry major Stephen Moser was in the back of the room, and he was brewing up a batch of ale. In a few weeks, his work will end up in the glasses of patrons at the cafe. And the signs, there's signs on the front door reminding people to drink responsibly, of course, which colleges are known for.
So students can brew beer in the program, and then it can be served at the cafe?
Yep.
Okay, that's badass. I don't think that Davis has cool. that. Do they, Tasty?
No. I don't know if they have a beer outlet there or not, but
pretty sure they
beer
don't.
Is obviously brewed by students.
It is brewed, but I think it's then technically dumped.
Yes.
That's a cool way to be able to learn about beer. Also serve it at the pub. Of course, if it's bad, then you might get bullied. But,
cyber bullied.
As you should.
Yeah. Well, being an educational institution, they should know all the off flavors.
That's true.
That's in 101, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, I really like that.
Well, to the best of my knowledge, there are no other campuses that do that. You mentioned Davis. They do not sell the beer. They have no plans to. And this is an AP story I pulled this from, and they did quote Professor Bamforth. And he says that getting into the retail ends of things would be a distraction for him and his students. And he does say, yeah, what happens to the creations? Well, they get dumped down the drain.
Yeah. Well, I guess he makes a point about the distraction.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Half the guys are going to end up at some percentage. Are going to end up at a brew pub, and they're going to find themselves doing bar shifts and choosing guest beers, and they're going to be involved in the retail side.
Yeah, well, that's true. So why not learn that too?
What the heck?
What is the distraction part? Trying to make sellable beer? That doesn't sound like a distraction for someone going to the Davis program.
It's not the making part. It's actually the selling part, because now you're selling and you're doing the books.
Yeah, you gotta have
making the students actually bartend and pour the beers?
Yeah.
And do the other sides of the business.
Right.
So Tasty makes a good point. That's a good, other part of the business to learn. But Davis is focused on just brewing the beer, manufacturing beer.
I thought he was saying actually selling the beer that they're making is a distraction.
Right.
But he's talking about actually having the students do it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to your guys' point, that is what the university sort of envisioned. So, like, the associate dean, Michael Godfrey, he brought brew studies to Cal Poly originally back in 2000 with just a single class on culture and history of beer. But, yeah, he envisions Innovation Brew Works to eventually become the centerpiece of studies for chemistry students interested in learning, the science of beer, as well as hospitality students and communications, marketing beer.
Graphics students. They can all these departments can work together on the product that the brewery students work on.
The marketing people can handle the beer sales. The brewers can just do the brewing.
Exactly. And this is not Cal Poly. It's not new territory. Cal Poly, Pomona has been – they're about 30 miles east of L.A. for everyone that's not from California. They're well positioned to take this trend to the next level and hopefully influence other campuses that already have brewing programs and even those who don't. They have operated their own ranch, their own hotel, their own event center.
Wow.
So this is –
right up their alley.
Yeah.
Well, finally a reason to go to Pomona.
I mean,
they've been...
Or to college.
I don't know if you knew that, but that's actually the city's new slogan.
Finally.
Finally. Pomona. Finally a reason to come here. All right.
Well, you don't have a reason to go to Maple Grove, Minnesota. And not if you're looking for a new Glarus Spotted Cow, at least.
Minnesota. Never mind.
Sorry. Still no reason.
I was there.
Yeah, there's a bar there in Maple Grove that was busted just last week for selling Spotted Cow, which is the cream ale from New Glarus. And interestingly, I was just shipped a bunch of this beer. We're going to do a cream ale episode on Brewing with Style.
No, we weren't. We don't have it.
Yeah. We'll never see it.
We're not selling it like this bar is.
Can they send more than one bottle?
Finally, I'm enjoying it at my house. This is one time where I'm proud to announce that you guys will get none of it and we won't be selling it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I have a bunch of commercial beer that a listener sent all of us, and I've saved it for this moment.
But go ahead. Very generous.
For this moment.
Except for I don't get any, though.
What else did they send Scott?
Everyone learning.
Scott. They did also send, what is the cherry sour?
$500!
They sent him the cherry sour?
I'm going to...
No, you're not.
I'm saving it. No, I am. I'm going to share
like
it with
Like the Rare
you.
Barrel beer?
Right.
I'm still sitting on all that stuff.
Why?
Because I told him to.
Why not distribute it?
Because we're going to do a big party with it.
Doubt it.
Our 10th anniversary
party. What's wrong with you? When do I steal beer from you?
He said the same running joke for the past 6 months. Don't get mad at me.
He said we.
Don't get mad at me.
Yeah, but the joke's on him, not me. I'm telling you that I told him to do it, and you're like, what? When?
So?
The joke's on that asshole, not this asshole.
He said the hop grenade staff is going to have a big party with the BN.
Yeah, we're not
having
a barrel here.
Right. Tasty will get invited.
Yeah. That's good. Well, he spends money here.
Yeah.
All right. So this bar in Maple Grove, they got busted for selling the New Glarus beer. Now, just ruminate on that headline for a second. It's the headline is basically bar
busted
sells
how?
Beer.
Right.
And they got busted. So apparently it's only legal to distribute Spotted Cow in Wisconsin, where it's made.
Yeah, they're all weird about it.
The brewery explains, sorry about the limited distribution, non-Wisconsinites. It says this on their website. There are only so many hours in the day to make beer, and we can only keep up with local demand. The guys at Maple Tavern are in a heap of trouble after authorities got an anonymous tip that somebody had purchased kegs to sell the forbidden beer at the bar. Maple Grove's about 45 miles from the state line. Just to give you some geography. Investigators noticed a photo of Spotted Cow on tap on Maple Tavern's Facebook page and were served some when they visited the bar undercover.
Why would you put it on your Facebook page?
Well,
they don't. They didn't know.
It was a rare beer. Like incidental. Someone took a photo, like a selfie, and it was in the background.
The key here is the anonymous tip, yeah. Which right. I have to assume yeah. is some disgruntled hey, ex-girlfriend of somebody or something.
Or yeah. it was the bar next down the street right. a little bit.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah.
And they're like, "Hey, look what's going on here."
Anonymous tip. And also the undercover sting operation. Like, how many pints did the officers order? Because, like, if you do you remember the whole Heidi Fleiss thing where there was an undercover sting operation to bust Heidi Fleiss's ring of very high-end prostitutes?
Yes.
She had her little black book, and celebrities were hitting her.
Yeah, I tried to sign up for that BJ. that legal BJ.
That must have been the best sting operation in the history of the force, because these guys were getting serviced by these women.
Yeah, hey, you got to build evidence.
For years. Are you yeah, sure? You I'm not sure. We
build
should go
evidence,
back.
And then you release evidence, yeah. and then you build yeah. evidence, and then, okay.
It's going to have to go to completion, I think, for this to be real evidence.
So this is what happened at
you
Maple Tavern.
You are disgusting.
But honest.
This is what happened. They ordered 85 spotted cows and then went, this is illegal.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, the bar owner, or one of them, Brandon Halvka, says, we made a mistake, but it was all done with very good intentions.
They made a mistake.
We sold beer.
Right. What happens next is a bit unclear. Under Minnesota law, it is a felony, quote, to transport or import alcoholic beverages into the state for purposes of resale, end quote, without a proper license. Scott Wasserman, a spokesman for the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, told the Post that the investigation is active and charges have not yet been filed, so he can't really say what the penalties will be. One, you have to assume at least a hefty fine. Maybe their license gets threatened. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yikes. New Glarus was not involved in the investigation, but they did apparently get a call about it from the owner of the tavern, who apologized profusely.
Oh, that's good.
And then New Glarus president Deb Carey, she said, she was like, yeah, you don't have to apologize for selling my beer. And she later noted that she kind of felt bad for him. It's not even the first time that she's had a bar get caught for selling her beer, she said. And she wasn't mad about it. You know, she said it's flattering. Spotted Cow is beloved beer. And she was like, well, you know, there's a lot of good Minnesota beer. There's great breweries over there. People just love our beer.
Okay. I'd like to hear them responding like that. I've heard them respond in not such a nice way before. So it's nice to see them coming around a little bit. What else we got in the news?
Let's see. There is one more that my laptop is now frozen. Oh, here we go. I'm still using this, like,
I think you bought that when we founded the Brewing Network.
No, I inherited it from my dad, which had been using it for years.
You are such a cheap bastard.
Okay, one more. Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott was caught on video downing a beer in a few seconds at a Sydney pub, prompting comparisons to another beer-chugging former leader and sparking a debate on social media. The video recorded reportedly on Saturday night showed the leader knocking back a glass of Australia's Victoria Bitter in about 6 seconds as a large crowd surrounding him yelled, "Skull," which, as you might gather, is Aussie for chug. Abbott was, quote, proud as punch when he grabbed a beer and, quote, drank from head to toe the entire schooner, dribbling little bits on his shirt. That's a quote from Simon Carotis.
Cheater.
yeah, you don't win the challenge.
Chug it again, buddy.
Simon is an Australian rules football coach for the University of Technology, Sydney. Carotis said that his university's football team was holding an event at the pub, and they spotted the prime minister. They walked over, and they said, hey, Tony, will you come over and have a beer with all the players? And he said, no problem. His chug drew parallels with Bob Hawke, who was the prime minister from 83 to 91 and was reputedly a world champion for drinking a yard glass of beer.
Oh, boy.
About 3 pints in 11 seconds.
Before you know it, he's in the locker room slapping towels and just hanging out with the rugby guys. You know how it goes, right, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I slap towels all the time.
He should have done a keg stand. I hear that your dad did a keg stand at the Martinez Beer Festival last weekend.
Still reeling.
Or maybe I should say at an undisclosed location last weekend. Yeah. Your dad did a keg stand?
I'm blown away. I still don't believe my eyes.
Did someone pay him to do it? Did he have to have his arm twisted?
Nah, I think Bevo, did you go before he did?
Right.
Bevo, you did a keg stand too?
Yeah. In a skirt.
Do beer bongs still exist?
Where's the video of that?
She was like,
It exists.
Like, I need guys to hold my legs. And then she also had skirt holders holding the skirt.
I had rules. There were my skirt.
This isn't
Vietnam. There are rules.
My skirt had to stay in place. There could be no judgment about the possibility of there being some
granny
stubble.
Panties?
Of there being some stubble on my leg.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And they had to be prepared to lift me up because it was being videoed, and I didn't want anybody to look like they were struggling as right. they lifted me.
Lord.
No veins popping out on their arms.
What kind of shirt were you wearing? Did your boobs pretend to pop out?
I was wearing the black Brewing Network tank top.
Oh, tank top.
Yes.
So they did pretend to pop out. Where's that video?
Dude.
It's on Kevin's
don't
phone.
Don't be a creeper.
Kevin's phone.
Oh, wait, sorry.
It asked me to stop breathing.
Right. You should go ahead and stop breathing.
Yeah. So you did it, and then Marty was like, well, if Bevo can
exactly.
do it.
Exactly.
Hold my skirt.
And I just want to clarify,
did
because, you know, people
out?
Listening might think, well, you know, the guy's, you know, he's got the, he has the beer bar.
Oh, no, he's straight-laced.
Well, yeah, growing up, he would have like a glass of red wine with dinner 5 out of 7 nights a week. But one glass.
Yeah.
You know, company would come over, he'd have one gin martini.
Sure.
One, but he'd have one. That was it. I never saw him drink more than one ever.
I'm pretty sure I've gotten him drunker in the history of his association with me than he has been in his whole life.
Oh, easily.
Or
easily.
More times, I should say.
Easily.
So he's at the festival, and was he drunk?
I don't know. Beef, was he drunk? No, not really.
He was fine, but he thought it looked fun?
I guess so.
He's like, that looks great.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
how long did he last? Did he time it? You got to time a keg stand.
It was fairly short, wasn't it? A few seconds?
Yeah, it was just a couple seconds.
I think it kind of...
couple seconds?
I think it shocked him. He was like, holy crap.
Let me be clear. This was not a proper keg stand. We were drinking out of the jockey box.
Yeah.
It was a jockey stand.
So it was very difficult.
I like it. That's even better. Some reason
is Martinez.
Yeah,
Martinez cake stand.
Beef, can you do the description of how he accepted Kevin's challenge?
Do you want me to act it out, or
you gotta say it
describe
somehow.
It yeah.
So Kevin was like, come on, Marty, let's send this to Justin, you know, make him realize he's missing out being in Hawaii, which really
I was missing out.
Yeah, you were.
I never got the video though, but all right.
And so Marty's like, no, it's okay, it's fine. And then Kevin, I think, asked him one more time, like, oh, come on, Marty, you should do it. Marty then took his sunglasses off and tossed them onto the table like, I don't give a fuck.
All right, let's do this.
Wow. Now, Kevin's our GM, of course, here at the Hop Grenade. Was Kevin sober?
No, Kevin's a pusher, too.
Yeah.
I love it.
You have to do this. No, we're doing this.
Is Marty a two-times guy?
Did Kevin do it?
You just got to ask him the same
Kevin
thing twice.
No, Kevin didn't do it.
He's a pusher who doesn't do it. Even better.
It was amazing. I couldn't believe it.
Right.
Well, anyway, that's the news brought to you by the American Homebrewers Association, who are holding their beloved conference down in San Diego. Go to ahaconference.org and get your tickets if you haven't already.
That's right. All right, let's do a little bit of feedback. Feedback is brought to you today by our good friends down at HopTech Homebrew Supply. HopTech Homebrew, check them out. They actually just remodeled their store, too, so if you're local, really go check them out. But you can buy online as well. They're down in Dublin, California. HopTech Homebrew, supporting this show and giving you good stuff. All right, HH writes in, hey, ladies, and no talent hacks. Number one, I don't think anyone has mentioned this, but Nicole got drunk that one time and it was pretty annoying.
Okay. No, that's pretty disgusting.
When was that?
Which time?
Number two, I was listening to the 420 discussion. So last week?
Yeah,
I guess.
Last week.
Of the,
how do you forget that? It's the main staple holiday of
everyone's
the
been talking
universe.
About it.
I think he has the date wrong, though.
Probably.
I was listening to the 420 discussion of the East versus West Coast IPA comparison.
No, so on that show, we had feedback. We had a couple pieces of feedback saying that we didn't do East Coast beers justice how dare we poo-poo the finer points of the East Coast IPAs.
We didn't poo-poo them, though. We said we could tell them the difference.
I kind of did.
People were surprised about that.
Yeah.
But did the rest of us? We all said the East Coast beers were good.
Talked about the differences, and I appreciated the differences. Yeah.
Did we shit on them?
Yeah, we totally did.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So he says, I was listening to the discussion. You really need to do another comparison, this time comparing acclaimed West Coast IPAs, which you did, to acclaimed East Coast IPAs, which you did not.
We did neither.
either, actually.
Well, but Hedy Topper's
Hedy
like
Topper's
the,
not an acclaimed
well,
one?
Well, he says, except Hedy Topper.
He goes, blah, blah, blah. I lived on the East Coast my whole life, and I haven't heard of any of the East Coast beers you tried, except for Hedy Topper. I'm not saying you tried a bunch of random shit, but you tried a bunch of random shit. Now, not that I'm defending us, per se, because I don't know exactly what happened, but we didn't go out and choose these beers. They were sent to us by an East Coast listener who recommended we do a side-by-side.
Yeah,
correct.
They were given to us as representation of the finest that East Coast has.
So, of course, every East Coaster is going to have a different idea of what that representation is. But I'm just saying, you know, we didn't come up with the thing. We just got beer sent to us.
Send us beer if you want us to do other ones. I mean, we can't clearly find East Coast beers out here.
Right.
So there you go.
I'm happy to do another one, but what happens if it just keeps going on and on like this? then I'll be like, you guys need to reinvent your show.
One more time. You just haven't had the right beers.
I mean, we'll send them the recipe for Blind Pig. And we'll do it again.
I think one guy from last week's feedback was like, at least you could just admit that East Coast beers were exceptional, you know, examples of the style.
They were.
I'm like, well, no, they weren't because we shit all over them. Because we picked the West Coast beers.
Did we shit all over them or we just said they were sweet?
I remember a shit like Hedy Topper was cloudy and grainy and had no body and like all this kind of shit.
They just want an East Coast IPA style, which is just not as good. Oh. As West Coast IPAs.
That's basically what we were saying.
Two West Coast people.
Right.
I mean, what are you going to do, man?
Right.
What do you think we were going to do?
I love East Coast IPAs, so...
I'm sure they're fine.
It's just, not the same. An East Coast IPA is never going to pass for a West Coast IPA. They're not the same beer.
Right.
So you don't love East Coast IPAs?
No. I'm saying I'm never going to taste an East Coast IPA and be like, oh, this must be like Firestone, or this must be 21A. Yeah. Like, they're just different beers.
I love how Blind Pig is tasting right now.
Yeah, right. They're different beers.
Right.
Rye, you want to weigh in on this? Did you miss?
Well, actually, I recently interviewed Colby of Ballast Point. Yeah. He's featured in our upcoming issue.
Excellent.
And he gave one of the best explanations I've ever read or heard about West Coast IPAs and how, you know, the way they massively dry hop these and it has this kind of like, you know, this kind of like almost the resin of the hop in there. It's got this viscosity in there that, you know, we can actually not make it as malty because it's going to have that kind of perceived sweetness to it. And that made so much
sense. From these resins,
it made so much sense to me. And you don't get that in East Coast. I grew up on the East Coast, and you don't get that in East Coast IPAs. You don't even get up in the north or northwest, like Seattle and Portland. I just got back from CBC.
Yeah.
And the minute he explained it, I got it. I was like, that's a West Coast IPA, because people bandy about this term. But it was the first time it made sense that you don't need to make this heavy-bodied, malty beer, because you've got the perceived sweetness coming from all the hops.
From the resins,
You don't get that on the East Coast, really. Maybe with Dogfish, but, you know.
Yeah, some of their IPAs can get a little
bit. Yeah, they just tend to be a little bit maltier on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Well, you get that with East Coast beers if they made them right. So,
all right, so HH, I would just say, you know, send us the beer you want us to try. That's fine. But I have a feeling it's going to, you know, I don't know, it could just get uglier. All right, Kevin writes in, hello, good peeps. I can't find the BN podcasts on the Windows Phone Store anymore.
Yeah, and I'm like,
there's a Windows Phone Store?
What? They still make those?
Now, this one I don't even know how to address because was it ever on the Windows Phone Store? Because I didn't put it there.
Yeah.
Is that an Android phone?
It's a Windows phone.
I guess it used to be there, now it's not. Yeah. That means that some listener put it there for us and has died or something, or stopped putting it there. So I don't. It used to be there. Can you please check this?
We checked it.
Okay. Does Kevin want me to be honest right now?
Yes.
He does.
We'll redouble our efforts on that.
All right. I'm going to be honest, Kevin. I'm going to redouble my efforts on checking that it's in the Windows Store.
We'll put Bev right on it. We'll put Sam right on it.
I don't mean to be a jerk, Kevin, but I really don't put the show anywhere. People put it places, and I can't be bothered.
We might get listeners if we did that.
That would be weird. All right. Clayton writes in, what happened to the Brewmaster's Warehouse, your sponsor? I went on the site and it says it's closed. I don't know that, actually. I don't know what happened. I do know that there were some personal things that I can't, you know, I don't want to disclose. I had spoken with the sponsor, but that was months ago, and I thought things were doing okay, and I'm actually just as surprised as everybody else. I just found out today that it appears that Brewmaster's Warehouse might have closed, and I'm going to try to reach out to Ed over there, and he's always very nice to us, and you know, they were a supporter of the Brewing Network for years. years now. I mean, more than 5 years, I think. And just really a steady, longtime supporter, and I can't thank them enough for that. I'm saddened to hear that they're closed. It bums me out. I'm going to try to reach out to Ed, and if he will allow me to elaborate to on air, then I will do so, but I got to respect his privacy, too. But yeah. I'm bummed to see that. They were good people and good sponsors.
The world needs more good. More gooder homebrew shows.
More gooder ones, yeah.
HH is in the chat room who wrote that email about us dissing IPAs.
Yeah.
What
does he want from us?
And he says, I was totally drunk when I wrote that email during last week's show. Now I cannot think of a really good East Coast IPA other
to send us
than Dogfish or Bell's.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, so now Bell's might have done well in that side by side.
Wait. Bell's, Michigan is not the East Coast, guys.
Well, but still.
That's out of the Mississippi.
Bell's Two Hearted is one of my favorite IPAs.
but it's not East Coast. You make a good point.
He doesn't mention Hetty Topper, and he can't choose another one, and so we're right. We win.
What about Cigar City? Aren't they in Florida?
Florida, yeah.
They make some good stuff.
And that is East Coast, but is that what people really consider? That's the Southeast.
Right. That's a whole different animal.
Dirty South.
When people say the East Coast, it's like what? Like New York,
North
Carolina up.
Yeah.
Well, and there are East Coast breweries making West Coast style IPAs. Like Wicked Weeds, their IPA is awesome. And it also happens to be a West Coast style, but.
They're North Carolina.
Right, yeah. They're on the East Coast.
So we could call them East Coast.
Right.
So, all right. Should have sent us that.
Yeah. That would have been great.
Dummy. Well, there you go, HH. Thanks for the concession. Appreciate it.
All right, and finally, Alex writes in, hey, guys, I realize you get emails like this all the time, but I can't seem to download or play the first Sunday session with Dave McLean from Magnolia, of course, about cast conditioning. It was a 2/19/06 episode. I tried all the usual tricks, et cetera, et cetera. So the only thing I could say, Alex, I will check that individual episode for you. I don't know of anything wrong with it, but I'll check it. Usually this problem is due to that we have limits on how many shows you can download per day, and that's something like 12 episodes. Once you go 12 episodes, you got to wait 24 hours and download the next 12. And since our shows are anywhere from 1 hour to 100 hours long, 12 episodes should be more than enough to get you through a 24-hour period. And we had to do that because the traffic was just too large. So wait 24 hours and see if you can download it, and then let me know. And otherwise, I'll go make sure the file's good. So thanks for writing in about it and letting us know.
Yeah.
And that's your feedback brought to you today by HopTech Homebrew. All right. Hey, Beardy.
Yes.
I don't know
Can
why.
Can you
I like...
smell what's coming?
Yes.
I want to shut the fuck up.
All right, I will.
Are you getting enough, Beardy?
Never.
I mean, I bet you'd like more, right?
Sure.
Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more.
Really?
Yes. That's never happened before.
Yeah. For free?
10 free things.
Whoa.
Yes.
You don't even have to marry them.
Yes.
This is nice.
Good. I'm already married. Apparently.
If only you had heard this ad just a little sooner, JP.
I know.
All right. Well, first you'll get a sexy surprise for her.
What does that do me?
Well, I don't know, but second, you get a specially selected toy for him.
Awesome.
What does that do?
And third, a little something we know that you'll both enjoy, which is 6 full-length adult movie DVDs!
That'll last me like 8 years.
Yeah, 18 seconds at a time.
Right, yeah, yeah.
6 full... What is full-length? We never knew.
It's about 9 inches.
And then number 10, free shipping on your entire order. And all you have to do is go to adamandeve.com and enter coupon code BNARMY at checkout. That's BNARMY, BNARMY at checkout. 10 free gifts, free shipping, a lot of, you know, one for you, one for her, DVD, all that stuff. Adamandeve.com and, check it out. Anybody can do it. They don't even exclude employees. You know, a lot of times contests are like, excluding employees. No, they told me one time, hey, if you ever want anything, just give us a call. And I was like, give you a call? Really? I'm going to call and go, all right, so listen, I need a double-sided, and then I'm going to need the one with the thing that spins around.
I need the pink glitter tickler.
Yeah. Right.
With the whirly gig. With the whirly gig on the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I need a whip. And, yeah, why would I ever call them for that? Yeah, then it's like going to the store. I've always said Adam and Eve is great because you don't have to go to the store and look like a creep. You do it all at home in the comfort of your laptop.
Yeah.
I'm not going to send, like, our sponsor connection my list, even via email. Hey, Jody, or whatever her name is. So I made this list over the Marcella. Weekend. I was hoping you could, you know, maybe hook it up.
Yeah. You can fulfill my...
I need a real doll and a...
But with an email, you can't hear the disappointment compared to the phone.
Well, there's emoticons.
Oh, really?
I mean, do their other sponsors do this? And they...
I don't know, but it's kind of like calling up a sex shop or going to... It's kind of like the awkwardness when you call up your doctor to make an appointment and the nurse goes, okay, what do you want to see the doctor about? And you just want to go, it's fucking personal.
Yeah, like, I just want to talk to the doctor. Well, we have to know, sir. And you're like, well, if I could just talk... Well, I have to know what to write on the chart. All right, well, write that my penis is swollen, all right? I don't know what to tell you.
I got it stuck in a mayonnaise jar, okay? And the balls and everything. And it hurts.
Yeah. It's always weird. Maybe we ought to make a list. Maybe we ought to work together on the creepiest email list we can come up. And I should send it to Adam and Eve. Maybe they'll just send it.
Just call them.
I don't want to call them. We'll do it on air.
Yes.
All right. After all these years, I finally have a list for you. Can we talk? Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. What is it? All right.
How great would it be if a guy answered the phone?
Hello?
Sorry, wrong number.
Yeah. Swarthy Italian man.
All right, Daryl. Here's the deal.
Ben.
I'm going to need 18 double-sided... I don't know.
Yeah, the two-footers.
Yeah, Burning Man's coming up.
None of that weak shit, Daryl. I need the two... I'm talking two-footers
here. I want the one... two-footer for the one-footer price. Right. Yeah.
Essentially, I want a giant slip and slide with a bank of dildos on the end. Because, you know... I got to have some fun. I got to come out of this shit hard and fast.
And four-way, because there's the party.
Right.
All right, well, you can get yours at adamandeve.com. Use coupon code BNARMY. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, JP brought some beer in for us to try.
Yeah, it's commercial beer that a listener sent in for us all to enjoy.
Oh,
real nice. Huh.
How'd you get it? Wow.
Not from the East Coast.
Not from the East Coast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're for us to enjoy.
Yeah, we're still going to get yelled at for what we say about it, I'm sure.
They're from Ohio, as a matter of fact.
God damn it, Ohio. Hang in there. It's the session. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters. Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on two gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high temperature March pump, and either a top tier gas burner or the new boil coil electric heater. The Brew Easy adapter lid allows the pots to stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20-gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your BrewEasy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The BrewEasy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your BrewEasy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new BrewEasy all-grain brewing system. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new BrewEasy. Easy. A few things happened 30 years ago.
ARPANET migrated to TCP/IP and the internet was born. Revenge of the Jedi was renamed Return of the Jedi and opened in theaters. Mila Kunis and Emily Blunt were born, beginning a rad fantasy in my mind.
But all of that pales next to the fact that HopTech opened its doors and began blowing homebrewers right out of their mash tuns. HopTech doesn't fuck around. Real people shipping awesome shit straight to you. Their new website is fast and easy to navigate. Or just call 800-379-4677 and let badass bitch Jade and the gadget guy Roberto blow their warm load of customer service all over you. So visit the site or visit the store in Dublin, California, and support those that support you. Get your brewing on at hoptech.com.
BN Army, I'm here to talk seriously for a second. You all are partially responsible for something explosive, and it's time you answer for it.
Moonlight Meadery is exploding.
Yeah, exploding across the country. Wait, they just landed in Australia with insane quality meads.
With nearly 70 different varieties of mead on the market, Moonlight Meadery has blown up the mead category and completely reinvented it.
Seriously? What?
Seriously.
What?
You're paying money for that watered-down mead when you could have a Moonlight Mead?
Moonlight Meads explode with quality and flavor.
They're a party in a bottle.
Did someone say party?
If you want mead and want the best, you want meads from Moonlight Meadery and will accept nothing less.
And now get 15% off by going to moonlightmeadery.com/BNArmy and use coupon code BNArmy at checkout.
Hey, sign me up for that party.
Attention homebrewers, if you like making labels for your handcrafted awesomeness and wish more people could see how great you are, then check this out. GrogTag, the makers of custom reusable labels, and craftbeerandbrewing.com are hosting the first ever National Homebrew Label Awards. The top 10 labels will be featured at the 2015 National Homebrewers Conference in San Diego to more than 5,000 attendees, and more than $2,500 in prizes will be awarded. If you've created a label at any time in the past year, you're eligible to enter. GrogTag and Craft Beer and Brewing have teamed up with great sponsors like More Beer and the Brewing Network to make this competition a great one to enter. Submit your entries between March 1st and June 1st for your chance at fortune and glory at homebrewlabelawards.com. That's homebrewlabelawards.com. Submit your label entries today. Good luck, and we'll see you in San Diego.
Segmented, demented, fermented, fermented.
It's the session.
Steel Panther playing just before NHC in Southern California.
Oh, yeah. Did you get us tickets for that yet?
No. Which day is it? Is it like the Monday?
I think it's the Wednesday. I want to say it's the night before our bullshit.
Our bullshit's Wednesday.
Is the night.
I think it's Tuesday, the night before our bullshit.
Maybe they're open Wednesday. Maybe we can get them to our gig.
I was thinking about that, but I think we're already over budget. How much do you think they cost, Tasty? 30 grand?
Oh, I would guess 25 easily.
Yeah.
25K?
Easily.
What a show that
would be. How many 10th anniversaries is the BN going to have?
I don't know, 20, 30 of them, I think.
Oh, all right then.
Yeah. We're going to do it every 10 years.
Okay. the same 10th anniversary?
Yeah. Sorry, okay. Our 10. Hey, how's your Pico Brew doing, Jippy?
It's doing pretty good. I just kegged yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you keg?
That ESB from our...
Heretic Brew Day?
Yeah.
So...
From our deal.
Are you going to pour that down at the National Homebrewers Conference?
Yeah. Thinking nice. About it, for yeah. sure. And so I would like to have, if it lasts, the beer that I made at Heretic, and then my brewing partner in crime, Michael...
Yeah.
I think that was his name. I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's
from
Michael now.
From
Quaff.
Yeah.
Your close partner.
Yeah. My close personal friend.
Right.
And he's going to brew his batch that he did on the same day. He couldn't make it up, but we did the same recipe with the same everything, same yeast, and he brewed on the same exact day, but unfortunately just not with us.
Excellent.
Oh, it's like Mikeller does it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just yeah. don't show up.
You don't have to be there.
Yeah. You don't have to be there.
Without all the pretentiousness. So, yeah.
Well, there was some of that.
Or the cool hats.
Or the cool hats.
So what's Pico Brew doing in the meantime? Just like hanging out? And
it's hanging
looking,
out right
looking
now.
Looking cool?
But I'm going to take it up to GrogTag. We're going to do a big brew day because I think Saturday is National Homebrew Day.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Yeah. It's Big Brew Day.
Big Brew Day, which isn't the same thing?
I think it's the same thing. Yeah.
Same
they
thing.
Combined them years ago.
Thank
they
you.
Just got
good.
Big.
It's because, yeah, they used to be. Okay, right.
Yeah, actually, that's this Saturday.
Yeah.
And if you can go to homebrewersassociation.org and... register your event if your club is doing a big brew day and you haven't done that. You should do that. So you're going to brew for big brew day.
Yeah, I'm going to brew on the Pico Brew. I don't know what yet. We'll figure out what everyone at GrogTag wants to brew. But yeah, it'll be a good time. So you know, and that's the beauty of it. There's going to be a couple people who work there hauling their systems up. I don't have to do that. I just shove it in the back seat and I'm off.
That's nice.
There you go.
Are you happy with the whole process and the equipment so far?
I still love it.
You love
it? It's so easy. I love it, man.
I was talking to Chris Graham over there at More Beer. You know, they're selling them at More Beer now, too.
Oh, really?
And he also loves it. He wanted to test how compact it is, like to see if apartment people would really like it.
Yeah.
So he moved it up into his office.
Right.
Which is about the size of Bevo's office, maybe even smaller. And he brewed a beer in his office. And he's like, it went fine. I just stuck it in the corner, brewed a beer, and I just wanted to see if I could really look people in the eye and say, this is perfect for small spaces.
That's impressive, because I don't even like sorting paper in my office.
Yeah, he put the Pico brew in his office.
Yeah, it's cool, man. I dig it. I was talking to Jeremy, who was at the brew day, and he was on Dr. Homebrew last week.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I still can't believe that thing. You know, everyone was brewing, and you and I were sitting on my tailgate eating a taco and drinking beer and brewing. It was amazing.
Sounds dirty.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun.
All right. Video of it. Great. Perfect. That's what I was looking for.
You can get that and nine others at adamandeve.com. Right.
So I guess people can buy a Pico brew at More Beer now. And you can't like buy direct from Pico. It's through retailers.
I think you can.
Or you can do it through them too.
Can't, I don't know. Yeah, I imagine.
I think you can.
I would imagine so. But if you can support More Beer, buy it through them, and you support Pico brew as well. So,
love it. All right. All right, so what beer did you bring us? What's the deal here?
Well, a listener, I think his name is Caleb. I forget. I think it is Caleb. Let's call him Caleb now.
Okay.
He sent us a bunch of beer from Ohio. He's super proud to be from Cincinnati, Ohio, and he sent a variety of commercial craft beer from Ohio for no reason, just because he wants to share.
Want to share it?
Yeah.
This is Mud Tree?
Mud
Tree. Yeah.
It's like a reverse... Mad Tree Brewing Company. This is their Psychopathy India Pale Ale. 6.9% alcohol by volume. Embrace the madness.
It's good beer.
It's not bad, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They should check their O2 levels.
A little too carbonated?
A little too oxygenated.
Yeah,
it's oxidized.
Yeah.
I think.
It's not quite a West Coast.
It's not West Coast. It's not West Coast clean.
I don't know what to tell you.
What do you think? You
think it's oxidized?
Is it that
caramel note that you get? Is that where you're getting oxidation from?
This is the clearest cardboard East Coast IPA I've seen in a while.
I don't get cardboard.
I thought it smelled just like Fruit Loops on the nose.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
It's got a really...
It's magnificent. I mean, that
fruity like hop candy character to it.
Is there a hop that does that? Is that like a combination of hops that do the Fruit Loops thing?
Yeah. I mean, in Two Hearted, I get it sometimes, and that's pretty much Centennial.
So, okay,
It just depends on the hop. You can do it with a blend, or some single varieties can get it.
Did Kayla send any information about the beer?
No.
No.
Just whatever's on the can.
Cool.
I can tell you that, according to the Surgeon General, women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy.
I've heard that.
That's about all I can tell.
I think it's bullshit, but I've heard it. I mean, Bevo turned out fine.
Good thing you'll never be pregnant.
Yeah. It's true.
Her eyes are a little spread out, but not like totally.
She's not English. I mean, give her a break.
Did you remember her family from the wedding, though? There were someone with really spread out eyes. Like, we were certain that they...
Just make fun of her family? Because I feel like I did that.
Not all of them, Bevo, but there were... Okay,
that's amazing.
Be honest. There were a couple people in your family whose eyes are a little far apart.
His name is Danny.
Was it a girl?
It was a girl who looks a lot like you, except with really creepy spread out eyes.
That would be my niece, who's a twin.
Got it. So there's two of them. I told you there was a couple of them.
And I think you're right, but I don't. But I don't.
Just maybe they grew into their eyes. I don't know.
Drank heavily while pregnant.
They grew into
it just means their brains are bigger, right?
Look, this was years ago. I'm sure they look fine now. I'm sure they're beautiful.
Whatever.
I remember noticing that.
Pull them up on Facebook.
Are you friends on Facebook?
Yeah.
What are their names so I can friend them?
Creeper.
I just want to see if they turned out.
I'm not going to give you their name
over the air.
So everyone else can friend them too?
No.
All right. Never mind.
That's what I want to do. Friend creepy people.
All right, what do we have here, JP?
Oh, as I walk.
As he's running around. You could have just passed it around.
Oh, thank you.
JP feels responsible for the beer, so he's going to pour it accurately.
What a good steward.
Is there coconut in this beer?
I don't know. Let's find out.
It's like a coconut porter of sorts.
Yeah, it's got some phenols in it.
It's called 10-ton oatmeal stout from Warped Wing in Dayton, Ohio.
Okay.
30 IBUs, 34 SRM, one pint.
I like this beer. No coconut, though, huh?
I don't know.
Oatmeal.
Hints of coffee, chocolate, and vanilla, and a faintly nutty finish that will leave you anything but.
It's probably the nut.
Anything
nutty,
but what?
Yes. No.
Kind of thin.
Is the nut I'm chasing?
I don't get anything, any coconut, but it's got
a vanilla.
Yeah.
Definitely vanilla. A nut, I guess. There's definitely a nut. I guess it's not coca, but it's nut.
Well, nutty, it's a good beer. Could be grain, you know, the grain bill or the toasted oats maybe would give, you know, that combined with some other nonsense would give you the illusion of some sort of nut.
I'll give you that.
Thank you.
Could be that I've been drinking coconut porter for 2 weeks and from Maui Brewing Company. Everything tastes like coconut now.
Yeah, that is a good beer they make.
I like this beer.
It's not bad, right? It's pretty cool.
What's the ABV?
Brian, what do you think?
I've got a great story about the Maui Brewing Coconut Roaster.
Yeah.
That's the most popular job, according to Garrett, because the guy who roasted the coconuts would go out to the bars afterwards and always get laid.
Because he smells so good.
Nice. So everyone wanted the job when he got married. And,
yeah. It was good juju. Yeah,
so.
So once he got married, he couldn't do it anymore?
Well, I guess his wife wanted him to give up the job. Who knows? But
she was one of those he was laying with the coconut. I mean,
yeah.
Right.
I'd also like to think he got a promotion. But, I mean.
They must not have learned yet that eating ain't cheating over there in Maui. He could have kept that job. I went to the brewery when they were roasting coconuts.
Did you get laid?
I did not. They wouldn't let me near the machine. They were like, sir, you have to stay away from that.
You're too flammable.
And we don't want any Hallies getting laid here on the island tonight. Not on our watch. So, but that whole brewery smelled fantastic. They roast them right there in like, they kind of look like the Subway ovens now. You know, where
they make the
bread. Like
the convection oven.
Yeah. And the place smells great.
I can imagine.
It's all real coconut that they do. It was really nice. So, I mean, I didn't blow the guy or anything, but I'm sure he smelled great.
But I would have.
You tried.
Had I met him.
Yeah. I mean, had they let me close.
Yeah.
I put my pants over that machine.
Yeah.
So, hurry up and drink this beer, or at least, you know, get a new glass, because I have...
There's another beer?
Dude, yes. When I tell you that a listener sent us commercial beers to enjoy for us... I bring them all.
Actually,
I don't really, but...
You kept three others in you, hypocrite.
I did keep one.
See? You goddamn hypocrites, all of you.
What a Jew.
Yeah. I kept them for later. This is called Soulless. It's a Flanders style.
It's about Scott, the Jew.
Yeah, right. It's a red ale.
Keeping with the theme.
Soulless.
I like it. It's a ginger beer.
Yeah. It's a Scarlet Sour Ale from Rivertown, which, in case you didn't know, is handcrafted in small batches. From Lockland, Ohio,
okay.
Rivertown.
Scarlet.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone drinks at the same time.
You're not going to get up and pour this one for me?
No, I don't care about you.
All right, that's fine.
What kind of beer is it again?
You were casting disparages on
No, that was Justin. I appreciate it.
It's a Flanders style.
Okay.
Which is, normally I don't like Flanders style because they're overly sweet. I think that style is too sweet, but this finishes really nicely. It's a little drier.
I was going to say that a lot of times they're overly vinegary, and this one is not.
They are too, like acetic.
Acetic, yeah, thank you. And this one is not.
You're welcome.
Have that. It's a little sweet for my taste.
Kind of one-dimensional, isn't it? Maybe I'm just coming off this stout.
No, yeah, I kind of agree with you.
Which dimension?
Yeah, this one.
I was going to go with a parallel.
Reality. Yeah, this is the least sour Flanders I've had.
It's tart. It's not.
I can remember.
There's a sourness to it, but it's more tart than sour.
Yeah,
it's even low on tart. I mean, it's not that tart.
So this will not.
Oh,
get you
I don't
laid.
Get that.
This one won't get you laid.
I really enjoy it. Well, I'll keep the second bottle then if you guys don't want it.
Yeah, it's all right. I like it.
I like it.
You know,
it's pretty good.
I like the one before better. The coconut stout was it.
Yeah,
now, that one's really good.
From Warped Wing.
Yeah, they're not coconut.
Which is in 16.
So, question: what food would you pair this with?
Anything.
Good answer.
Yeah. I don't pair beers with
like
food.
Matzo balls.
I've never
anything?
Had a beer
Doritos,
a
Cool Ranch
that is terrible.
No,
no, and nor have I ever had one that accentuates one or the other.
That now that part's nonsense.
No, I swear to God.
Yeah, your palate's weird.
Yeah,
yeah. And I could hear you say like, I could almost buy that there's not a bad pairing, although I think I've had one. But I could never buy that there's not a good one, like one that's better than another. I just can't buy that.
I don't know. Like what was the bad pairing that you think you had? Do you remember?
I don't know. No, I don't
remember.
It couldn't
have been that bad.
Yeah.
There aren't that many bad ones.
Yeah. But there are those that are certainly better where you go, this, all right, like
a creme brulee and a,
we had a, yeah, all right, the other night at dessert we had this like toffee gelato, right? So this beautiful small batch made toffee gelato. So a lot of, just like coffee, right? Just like espresso. It's really nice.
So not dryers.
Toffee. Not dryers, yeah. And then the bartender poured us, it was like, we were making fun of it at GABF. Something Beaver, like Magic Beaver Brewery, and their logo is kind of disgusting. Like it's a beaver, but like the face of the beaver.
If you look hard,
yeah.
Like you turn it upside down, you get turned on.
That's what I meant. Right.
But disgusting.
Belching belching beaver. That's what it was called, which makes it even more, you know, sort of disgusting.
Yeah. Right.
I don't remember the exact beer, but it was some kind of like a chocolate stout or a nut brown. And the pairing was phenomenal. Like those two things together, as opposed to a Pilsner with my toffee gelato,
I think it
were
still
100% better. I'm saying the good side. Like,
I'm sure
there is such a thing as a way better pairing.
Yes, but I don't think that there's such a thing as a bad pairing.
Okay, but you said both a minute ago, so that's all I'm arguing. You were like, and I've never had one that's better than another.
Well, that's still true.
I think
that you've never had one that's better. Okay.
An IPA with Indian food versus like a Russian Imperial oatmeal stout with Indian food,
I
think would be a huge disparity in pairing.
Well, I mean, the number one dish in Britain is tiki masala. I mean, you know, it's Indian food. They have IPAs. I don't know. I don't think it's. I don't.
But right, he's saying IPAs are good, not Russian Imperial Stout.
Right, exactly. Yeah. If you get a big Russian Imperial Stout with
talks.
Right,
I don't.
So do I. What?
Yeah,
I
don't know.
All right. I just. Yeah, it's nonsense.
I do. That's okay. That's
I know
right.
what he's saying a little. Like, you know, you do see that on the menu. Like, it's, you know, the beer battered fish and chips. Try with our IPA. It's like, yeah. Okay. Fine.
Sometimes, yes. But I think that those who actually curate a real menu, it's not like just a side note or a gimmick.
Right.
It absolutely can be a better pairing.
I agree.
I mean,
so there's some pretty exotic Japanese dishes like deep fried fish sperm. Or raw horse liver, things like that you really got to think about your pairing close.
What would you pair those things with?
So actually, the deep fried fish sperm, which is just an absolute delicacy over there, goes really well with like Pilsner, light beers. Whereas raw horse is a delicacy over there. It's widely available.
Yeah,
That can be really gamey. So you do want a pale ale or an IPA with
something with some bitterness to wipe it out.
Horse. I didn't hear what he said. Because you just went, and you weren't fazed by the fact that he said raw horse.
Raw horse.
Yeah, I wasn't fazed. Because people eat weird things in different places.
But raw.
Is it?
Yeah. I know.
I'm more confused about how do you harvest fish sperm?
Yes.
Because it just goes out into the ocean.
I'm going to Google it right now.
That's question the first.
First to catch
and
a fish.
Then the second would be, is the Pilsner a pairing because it's very salty?
Says the one woman in the room.
That is sexist, Beverly.
Yeah. Wow.
Not all men's sperm is salt. That is rude.
What are you, anti-man?
Yeah.
Okay.
Get out of here.
Herring sperm is used as an easy-to-get source of sperm.
There you go.
Because they're whores.
They leave it everywhere.
There's lots about fish sperm, but nothing
in
this room
about how to get it out of the
fish. Yeah, you just get it. You get some fish porn.
About how to harvest caviar.
They just squirt some sperm into breading and fry it.
Let's ask
Adam. Get them all in a room.
Create like a paste and then fry the paste ball.
You people are disgusting.
This is a gross conversation.
It is.
Hey, we're not the ones eating it over here.
I'm going on the 13th.
Genuinely. Intrigued.
Of course you are.
I mean, I know.
We've all known you're a little whorey all these years.
She's up for anything you can fry.
Warren actually hit the nail on the head.
Wait, what?
She's up for anything she can deep fry.
Sam might actually start getting some again. So, Sam, I learned tonight that if we deep fry.
I got a deep fryer. I got a donut maker, Beverly.
I'm going to Target now.
Beverly, I got this right.
right now.
I'm pretty sure the Walmart in Emeryville is 24 hours.
It hurts when I teabag the deep fryer.
I'm going to set it for old fashioned. Is that going to be a good enough setting for you?
Oh, my God.
In my mind, Sam always sounds a bit like a horse Harry Carey. Hey, there. Yeah, if does. You were a hot dog.
Yeah, he does.
You go, hey, B, you want to spit in the fryer today?
Oh,
wow. 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 There you go.
Wow.
Of everything that was said, that's the only thing that made me just go,
Even I'm uncomfortable.
Right. All right, we got to get out of here. Please.
Wait, finish your beer. I got one more beer.
I thought we had three already.
Holy shit. I got one more beer.
What does that have
You're
to do with
You're complaining about beer right now.
You see what happens when you share beer with people? They get overwhelmed.
What did I do?
That's true.
Is Kevin here? Who's pushing all this shit?
Come on, just one more.
How come that one's in a paper bag?
It's because it's condensating all over my bag, so I'm dripping it. It's dripping.
What does that have to do with it being in a bag?
He's drying it off.
I'm drying it off.
Oh.
It's a napkin, not a bag, I guess.
Yeah.
It's brown paper.
Okay, so this is...
Thank you.
You sure this isn't a lemon drop?
Yeah, I canned a bunch of lemon drops.
There is a hop called Lemon Drop that is very lemony.
Oh, yeah?
And droppy.
What's it called?
Lemon Drop, actually.
Wouldn't you know it?
I hope you know things about this beer.
Lemon Sperm.
Yeah, I know all about this beer.
What's it called?
Lemon Drop?
Brown paper napkin.
Lemon Drop.
That's the hop.
I know. Clearly, JP's hiding something from us.
Yeah.
This is a
cider. It's got a green pull tab. This is probably some like Four Loko. Shit.
Oh yeah, it's not beer.
It smells like lemon drop.
Beer.
Oh,
I do need energy for my bike ride.
You know what
though,
this is? So. Should I say what I think it is? This is that Limerito.
Oh, wait, did
just
I bring
from the
you
aroma?
Limerito?
This is my
just
favorite.
From the aroma. I haven't tasted
one.
It yet, but this is
no,
Limerito.
I can't bring you Limerito. Sorry, guys.
It's Moscow's favorite beer of the bunch.
It's real good.
Sorry, guys.
Why is
wow?
All right, so Limerito.
Wow, this tastes awful.
Which is like Bud Light Lime Margarita with a twist.
Yeah, I thought it'd be funnier than it is. I guess.
Why is it come in a small can
Wait,
like that?
The aftertaste tastes like the way a old dirty mop smells.
Ew.
If you've been using Pine Sol, yes.
It's Pine Sol.
Yeah.
That's what you're tasting, yeah.
No, yeah. There's a little bit of, like, mildew.
Pine Sol mixed with mildew?
Mildew.
Does this come in a six-pack or what?
I have no idea. I think it's a 12 or only.
Well, how did you get it?
Oh, wow. It was leftover from our Christmas party.
Nice.
Yeah. No. Thanksgiving. Halloween party.
I'm going to have to get some of these.
Moscow's your favorite?
Wow. No, don't. You can keep the can. It's fine.
No, it's cool.
No.
I mean, save it for next Halloween. It'll still taste the same, I'm sure. Exactly the same.
It's 8%.
Oh, boy.
You know?
That's fortified. It's
got well, there is caramel color adding, so, you know, just it's not might not be healthy for you.
Wow. Look, Rye chugged his already. It's amazing.
Wow.
He's ready to go, man.
Really likes it, too.
Well, I thought that'd go over a little better. That's all right.
I think it went over fine.
Yeah?
Moscow loved it.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get out of here. Hey, Rye, thanks for coming in.
No, thank you for having me.
Rye, where can people find Japan Beer Times?
Go online, japanbeertimes.com. We got a website that we try to update when we're not so hungover.
Cool.
We ship the magazine worldwide if you want print editions. We also, if you're an iPhone or iPad user, we have very well-designed digital downloads of the magazine.
Got it.
What if you only use the Windows Phone Store? Can you get your magazine there?
Have you? We will fax you copies of the magazine.
Sweet. Listen, I'll update your magazine while I update our show in the Windows Store if you want.
We have Twitter game to do. Please, not to leave yet.
Okay, we will. And then I just want to thank Haru for being on the program tonight, all the way from Japan, from Koedo. Did I get it right? Close, even. Koedo Beer Company over in Japan, and sent us some great beer. So go check them out if you're going to be there, or find it on the shelves in Southern California, and apparently in several places
Northern
around
California,
there.
Starting in June.
Nice. Okay.
Nice.
Excellent. All right, and Japan Beer Times with Rye Bevel. Thanks again for being on the program. All right, what was our Twitter game tonight, JP?
Well, Twitter game was, I just want to know why people don't like Warren.
Oh, good question.
Yeah. Actually, we never really announced it.
We didn't, but now I like I like the topic.
Damn it, Beardy!
Why doesn't anybody like Warren?
Good question. Warren.
Well.
Shut up, Bevo.
Yeah, I don't even know.
You can't be right all the time,
I don't even know what that means.
Yes, I can.
So we had some good, you know, some good comments. Dale Watkins over on Twitter. This is all where this happens.
he says, you think you should say it with every response.
Yeah, because the beard means he's Muslim, right? And that's why we don't like
That's why Americans don't like him.
That was the most awkward conversation in an airport. I got asked if I was Muslim by someone who was Muslim. I think they were hoping that I was,
and, you were like,
and I felt so awkward just being like, no. And they're like, oh, well, then why'd you grow it? I was like, I don't like shaving.
You should have answered, and, Allah, stupid. Yeah. But you're Muslim.
I felt so awkward because he wanted me to be Muslim. But it was
I'm
like,
sure he did.
No, sorry.
He kept saying no.
He's yeah. Like,
but you'd be the perfect, you're a ginger. We don't have any of those yet. you've got the beard. This is going to be perfect.
Well, yeah, plus I was in an airport, so I was looking around to make sure no one thought that I was with this guy.
Right. Like, that's just the TSA screening method.
Right, yes. Yeah.
Bro,
is there a blonde anywhere in the Middle East that's from there?
That's a good question.
There are no blonde people.
That guy was,
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know anybody.
I've never been.
Joseph writes because blind people are bad designated drivers,
right?
Which is why we hate Warren.
Yeah.
Sean Daniel says because he's that friend who can't even remember to renew his driver's license before a big beer trip.
Oh,
there
that
was
again?
That.
That again? Really?
There was that.
Who does that?
Warren does, apparently.
Yep.
Ian Stringer writes, why does anybody like Warren? Which I feel was a very good counter.
Answering
argument.
A question with a question?
Right.
That's good.
I loved it. Our good friend Sugar Valley Brewer says, because he's too much like JP.
Mm-hmm. That's
there
it.
You go.
Yeah.
Heard that I have to think about it. That one's a thoughtful one.
Yeah.
That's too close to home.
That really. It's not entirely inaccurate, I guess. He's not funny either. Blobber Glob says, that jerk never waves back.
Oh. Can't see you.
Nope. Baruz writes, people are naturally afraid of what they don't understand.
good point.
Yep. Yeah. Robert Walensky says, because he gets beard pubes everywhere, which he fucking does.
And that's gross.
Yes.
Yeah.
HH writes, because he's an asshole.
Right.
Yeah. Not far off.
That's
two Brewskis says, because they confuse him with one of those Duck Dynasty assholes.
Oh, that is really annoying.
Yeah.
And Chris Makes Beer writes in my favorite comment, who's Warren?
And that's our winner tonight.
There you go.
Nice.
Well done. All right, send an email over to bevo@thebrewingnetwork.com. Guy who did that, and then
things will happen.
And
maybe.
She'll send you something eventually.
And stuff.
Yeah. All right, good job, JP.
Thank
Are
you.
We done?
Yep.
All right, next week, Free Will Brewing Company's on the program. JP's going to do a great job. You should tune in.
They're in the studio all the way from Pennsylvania.
Oh, it'll make it even easier. I mean, better. It'll make it even better.
They should bring an example of an IPA with them.
I'll store it at my house while we're waiting.
Thank you. All right, we are out of here. Thanks, everybody. Good program, and thanks for holding down the fort while I got out of here for a minute.
Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. Thanks to Hiro and Rye from Koido Brewing out of Japan, even though I probably slaughtered that. The beers were great, and we really appreciate the time. Got a homebrew label that you want everyone to know about? Enter into the National Homebrew Label Awards at homebrewlabelawards.com and win some cool things. They have over $5,000 worth of prizes that you guys can win, so it's pretty cool. Follow JP on Twitter @MajorJip, and if you're any kind of Disneyland or Disney World fan, support his new endeavor, Cove Ears. Go to getcoveears.com for the best way to find your Disney park style and customize that ratty-ass Mickey Mouse ear hat, fool. Warren, everyone likes you, except for those that don't. For some good beer insight and homebrew info, follow Nate Smith at Nathan Homebrew and Mike McDowell at Tasty McD. Production director on the session has been Pushy Jack. Today's show has been produced by Scott Moskowitz. JP, Bevo is busy watching Roswell all show, and your host was Justin Crosley. Be sure to find the Brew Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. JP does great as his charity.